yes, love is begging door to door.
Welcome, everybody, to The Side Quest, episode 404, coming at you live from the NFL Draft Headquarters. We're here at round one, coming up to the podium right now, Mike Zuzak.
That's the best I can do. I don't have, like, a keyboard or a guitar on hand for that, so sorry.
And Mike's draft pick is Craig Gonzalez.
How's everybody doing? It's a pleasure to be drafted. I'd like to thank me for being.
And you're traded
for Philip Rivers.
I'll take Philip Rivers, which incidentally I did have in my fantasy league last year, and that worked out so well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? There was a guy I had that drafted, you know, had my eye on Peyton Manning late, and I got beat to the punch, and thank God
You really got beat to the punch there.
Yeah.
I had McNabb for some stuff. Yeah. Never again. He was great, I'd say, about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I had to trot out Colt McCoy a couple times.
He was my backup.
I always tried the Colt McCoy thing, and it never seems to catch.
I know. I believed in him, too.
It's like when you get stuck with Colt McCoy or Brady Quinn as your back, or Carson Palmer as your backup, and it just you're just like, well, I'm not going to put up points this week, guys. I better hope my Jacksonville Jaguars defense can rack up 24 points.
Right, and you know that that you have a guy in your league that has Cam Newton as his backup, and he still has like Brady or someone like that as their starter, like Drew Brees, and he's just going to sit on having those two guys. You're never going to see one of them.
Yep, that's so true.
I would trade Craig Gonzalez right now for Cam Newton on my fantasy team. No offense, Craig.
You know what? That's a, you know, the other team's getting, the Panthers are getting value right there for their trade. So I don't. If you need like a 5'10", like 200-pound, like, you know, non-mobile quarterback that has no accuracy and can't throw.
Well, he sits in the pocket really well.
I mean, Tebow can do that, so I could do what Tebow does.
This is true.
I think the Panthers will be all right. Their quarterback won't get injured this year, so, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm Dally Domofsky, for those who are wondering, as if you don't know already, since I'm
first-round pick, you should call yourself. I don't know why. I thought that was a compliment, but, you know, in retrospect.
Surprisingly, teams are trading down to get me.
Oh,
wasn't Vernon Golston a first round pick?
Wow.
Believe so.
Maybe.
So was Mike Williams, Charles Rogers. Yeah.
Joey Harrington,
the Detroit curse. And anyways, we are welcome back to Pro Football Draft Talk. No, I'm just kidding. This is the Side Quest. We have a sports centric episode today, but that's not all we're going to talk about. There are a lot of cool things that we're actually going to be chatting about, but I've invited Mike and Craig today to speak to a couple really cool topics, which we'll get towards the end of the episode. One obviously is both these fine young lads work for video game sports-based websites, so I'd be interested to get their take on the genre and how it's moved along. And of course, big news of today was a Madden curse, and how things like, I guess you could say, curses or tropes like that go along with sports games, how those can affect how people can think about their athletes, and apparently sometimes their team's chances. But before we do that, I want to get a little bit of background about who you gentlemen are. Mike, we've had you on the show before, but for those who may not remember, let's reintroduce you and tell us who you are and what you do for a living.
I am a fairly recent journalism grad that is always looking for work. So hit me up on Twitter at Mike Suzak, because I am starved for some work. But I help run 4string.com. It's with the number 4. And that's basically that site we launched geez, I can't even tell you when we launched it. I mean, like, my memory sucks, but it sort of was the natural evolution of a podcast that was on 1UP.com. It was the Sports Anomaly podcast with a couple of fine gentlemen there. And we've moved that into a full site, which was going good for a while, but I think we're looking to update it and make it into something new. Is kind of one of sports gaming's nice destinations for fun and funny sorts of content. So we do still have a weekly podcast. We do. You can find it on iTunes and other things. And that I think is kind of one of our best things. We're really good with our sports podcast stuff. It's always really fun and hilarious. And so check that out. Now, aside from that, I do freelance writing. I've written some stuff with Joystick. I do a lot of sports games reviews with them. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
And Modern Game Player.
Yes. Oh, yeah. How could I forget that? That's like one of my that's another podcast I do. Go to moderngameplayer.com for that. And that is it's good stuff.
It's your labor of love. I mean, all of us have, you know, that one project that we absolutely love to do that we don't look for any kind of, you know, we don't care to be raised on anybody's shoulders. And sure. Modern Game Player is your pocket. You totally do it because you love what it is. Mm-hmm. So what is it?
Well, I mean, a lot of podcasts like this one, like, it's kind of the, I remember, like, Chris Grant telling me, he calls it this bros talking about games yep. podcast, because that's really what a lot of these are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you have ones that work really well, like SideQuest, which that's like my ringing endorsement right there. you know, you have ones that work really well for that. But really, I think what I've tried to do with Modern Game Player is use a lot of stuff like social media and, like, you know, all the Twitter and all that sort of thing to create a big discussion about a topic every week, which my idea is for it to be every week, but that's almost never going to be the case. It'll be as frequent as I can, like, feasibly make it, you know. But, you know, a topic every week about games. This week, the topic is about downloadable content. So, you know, if you have an opinion about that, which it seems like everybody does, you know, contribute to that. You can leave a voicemail. You can hang out with me on Skype and talk for a little bit. You can, you know, go on Facebook, on Twitter, on forums, like, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. And what I do is I edit all of that together into a big kind of broadcast radio style show. You know, and I use things like music, like chiptune style music and stuff in it too, and kind of weave that in. So, I mean, editing a podcast for this show takes a significant amount of time because of just, like you said, it's kind of a labor of love with that. And I've had people kind of call it like a similar thing to A Life Well Wasted, but I think, you know, it stands out on its own. I think it's something I'd love for more people to try and get in on. And I've had, you know, a couple different guests on there that have been just really fun to talk to, you know, from different sites and stuff. And I want to kind of keep that going.
You just had a really good one about the Game of the Year talk.
Yes.
I really enjoyed. Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, that was a really fun one to do. That one, we first had the conversation closer to when people were actually doing Game of the Year things. So it sucked that I let it sit for that long before editing it together for like a couple months. But, but, you know, it's still really mm-hmm. cool. And it's interesting to look at. It's crazy. If you go on Wikipedia and you search for Game of the Year, someone decided to sort of keep track of different sites and the games of the year that they list for years and years. So from there, I kind of found out what like the 1983 one was or something like that, you know? And I think that was one of the interesting things in talking about that and why we even pick these things and why it even matters, which I think is similar to the Madden cover vote and being on the cover of Madden. So that's kind of a related note that we'll probably get into, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun stuff. I'm always looking for new ideas on what episodes should be about. And sometimes it's, you know, it pops in my head like, oh, that would be a cool conversation to have. And I would try and talk to this person or this person. But, you know, it's a matter of trying to get people to sit on Skype for a little while or things
as
like that.
We're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe what I'll do is I'll just start pulling from the side quest. I'll just kind of steal your shows and just edit it together. No, but really, yeah,
just
it's a lot of fun.
You can cut out Steven.
Yeah, I could maybe do that. No, he's a good kid. No, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. So that's one mm-hmm. thing. I'm always looking for more ears and for more people to get in on it because it's open for everybody to contribute to.
Cool. Well, always glad to have you on the show. This is like the second or third time you've been on.
Not enough. That's for
Not
sure.
Not
enough. A lot of fun.
Any more, we have to start paying you.
Yeah, that's true.
The limit. Craig, you are a writer over at Console Sports.
Well, yeah, I was one of the co-founders of ConsoleSports.net with along with my cousin Scott Hemphill. We actually started out as ConsoleFootball.com back around 2004, and then you know, we had a shortage of games to talk about due to the exclusive licenses and whatnot, so we decided to expand it to all sports. You know, I do some writing for the site. Writing's kind of not my thing, but sure. Due to necessity, I contributed as much, quite a bit. You know, and then we changed to Console Sports. We got involved with like the EA Community Leaders Program back at the end of like, you know, from like 2007 to 2010. So yeah, we just basically would, you know, get the, you know, went to a couple few of the community events, you know, got to play some of the games early, wrote about our experiences, like formed a small little community there for a while. And yeah, things are kind of slowed down a bit lately, but you know, I still play my games.
Yeah. It's one of the things that I guess if you're not full time, writing for like, you know, gaming website or other websites, it can be tough to keep up and to stay motivated. And especially if you're the one behind the website, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, my cousin does a lot of the writing, you know, but honestly it gets, when it comes to the sports games, we can talk about this later. It gets kind of tough sometimes just because, you know, there's really the information all comes out at the same time. And there's also very excellent sites out there. Other, you know, people in the community, like, you know, the gaming, Tailgate and those guys, and Shotmaster does a great job, and Pasta Pop. I mean, there's already other places where those guys do excellent jobs. So, you know, sometimes it can be a little redundant, but yeah, I mean, we had some leagues. I mean, you can try to run some leagues and, you know, try to keep everybody involved. So, you know, it's, you know, you can only do so much sometimes, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's always a challenge, and it's just inevitable that you're going to that we all go through these ups and downs. So it's,
but oh yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah.
But I mean, like Mike said, before the show started, I when I first heard about Console Sports, I actually really enjoyed just the super clean layout that you guys have, and how easy it was to find your way around, which got me looking around the site. I hopped onto the forums a few times, looked at the you know, some of the screenshots you had in the gallery and things like that, which you actually guys set it up really nicely.
Oh, thank you. That was mainly my, like, so not only did I have to, you know, write some, but the whole like maintenance and updating of the site and designs all mine. So
great job. Yeah, thanks. I will be hiring you to help me out with side quests.
Well, you know, I don't, you know, I do have certain limitations, but yeah, if you need a hand, I'd be more than willing to help.
I went on a tirade the other, not say tirade, but I guess you'd call it a tirade about how much pay journalists get for writing regularly. I thought the number is pretty low. As to, you know, income and so forth for a full-time writer. And I come to find out there really is no such thing as a full-time staff writer.
Right.
Because you have to handle a lot more things than just write. There's a whole lot of management, you know, duties that you have to handle. There's, speaking of Mike Wehner over at Tekka, he informed me of like a lot of the payroll things that have to take place. Ben over at Joystick told me a lot of the stuff they have to do. So there's a lot more that goes into working at a website or publication than just writing. So, the guys are in every penny. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, and you got to stay on people to contribute. And then like, so, you know, with my site, this was just like a side thing. Mm-hmm. So after a while it was almost like a second job. And, you know,
the second
so
job, you don't really see much of anything. Yeah. For, right. You know, it's that labor of love. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Exactly. So, you know, after a while, it's just like, all right, you know, I'm good right now.
Yeah, that I think that happens to all of us. So, it is great to have you guys on. And as per usual on the wonderful SideQuest television, radio, podcast, program, whatever, we're going to talk about games that we are playing. And since you guys are the guests, I'm gonna let you guys go first. Craig, what have you been playing? You actually had a really interesting one listed in the Google Doc here. Your very first one.
I picked back up BioShock 2. Is like the main game that I'm playing right now. Mm-hmm. Now, I love the first one. The first one is by far probably my all-time favorite game. I love the art in it. I love there's that game. I love that game's awesome. And I got the second one when it came out. I bought the special edition so I can get like the 12-inch piece of wax and the posters and the art book and all that. But I couldn't get into it as much because it's just a grind dealing with all the little sisters all the time, you know, all the harvesting of Adam. And then I got to deal with the big sister. So I kind of got stuck for a while in a spot and I kept on dying in the same spot. And then I put it down for a while and then I picked it back up a couple months ago. But I started from the beginning again because I kind of lost a lot of the story. So I'm almost done. I'm about 70% done with it now. And I kind of figured out how I'm going to deal with all like the harvest thing. I just leave those to the end and I just got to get through it because I know there's like a book out now that I want to read. So
what book is that?
I think it's called just I got to look it up. I was just reading about it. It's like a novel. It's like 300 or 400 pages. Nice. About. But I want to finish the second one because I guess they kind of get into the second one a little bit like later in it. So I think it's called just like Rapture. Welcome to Rapture or something like
that. And that it, if I remember correctly, it doesn't. I think it takes place before the first game. It doesn't have to have some background with Andrew Ryan and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. But then I read, you know, it kind of includes both games. So I just gotta grind my way through the second one, and you know, and I want to read the book because it's interesting to me.
Go ahead. I was gonna say I had never read books related to video games before.
Read the Mass Effect ones.
What's that?
Read the first Mass Effect ones.
That's what I've heard too. That's what at this point I was gonna get to.
I really like those.
I've been told the Mass Effect ones are really good. And then, I mean, I love the world of Rapture, so I'm tempted to pick this one up before BioShock Infinite comes out. Are you looking forward to Infinite, Craig?
Well, yeah, that's also the thing. I kind of want to get done with this. Infinite looks good. Now, I wasn't sold on it at first. And then a few months ago, they released like that 15 minutes or something of gameplay footage. And I was like, okay, well, this is pretty cool. And I might be able to get into that. So, I mean, I'm down. I like the concept. I wasn't sure about being in the clouds now. And it's kind of a different era because I really like the era of Rapture, like the late 50s. I am looking forward to it. So I kind of want to get done with this so I can say I completed it, you know, and I've read the book and now I'm on to the next, you know, story.
Awesome. What else have you been playing?
You know, I've been playing FIFA 12 and now I haven't had a FIFA game in a long time. I haven't bought it for the last few years and I've been playing, you know, soccer, like indoor soccer for the last couple of winters and falls and So like I'm like, all right, well now and I heard nothing but great things about FIFA 12. So you know, I picked it up a few weeks ago and the game's awesome. It's just hard, which I don't mind. You know, I don't mind like trying to, you know, think the game through. And I like the game face feature where I downloaded my own face into the game for my player. And I tend to win more when I just control my player than when I control the whole team. So but FIFA 12 is awesome. And it's a hard game. It's probably one of the best sports games I've played as of late. And then I've been playing some NBA 2K12, not as much lately. But my last three games, I think those are like what I've played the most recently.
You know, are you picking up? I think it's Euro, right? The Euro.
The UEFA.
UEFA.
You know, I'm in no hurry to pick it up. I'm not like the biggest. I like playing soccer, and like I can't break down like the Premier League games or anything. So like the UEFA thing is just kind of. You know, I probably will end up picking it up. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I just read that like half the teams are unlicensed. So like half are like players are fake. So I don't know.
it's not
that it matters to me. I couldn't tell you the difference.
It's not Ronaldo. It's Ronaldo.
Ronaldo. Yeah. I've seen things being done in like Pro Evo for 3DS.
Oh, yeah.
They took like the U.S. Men's national team and took some of their names and just tweaked them a little bit because they didn't have the exact license, I don't think.
It was the United Stats of America.
Yeah, it was some the United Stats Statisticians of America is what it was, yeah.
Well, that's no difference in like the Madden Classic rosters where all the numbers were one off from like the old school players.
Right,
yeah. Well, I am I'm a huge FIFA fan, and the last one I got was the World Cup edition.
You don't have FIFA 12?
No, and I'm kicking myself right now. So I have a huge backlog, and I guess I'll get into it right now too. I have a huge backlog of games that I keep telling myself I'm gonna just sit down and plow through these. Well,
yeah.
As we all know, that never happens. Your backlog just keeps growing and growing and growing. Unless you're able to like lose your job for a few months, then maybe you can probably plow through your backlog.
That's not the recommended route. That's not the right carry your backlog. It is effective though.
Is quite effective. Yeah. I ended up, I think, four of the games that I had, I ended up just giving away as prizes because they were sitting on my backlog for so long that I had bought them at full retail. And 2 years had gone by, and I could get them for $6. Like LA Noire,
do that too much, yeah.
Yeah, I had LA Noire, got it at retail right when it came out. Never cracked it open, and ended up donating it to Child's Play just a little while ago because I'm like, I'm never gonna get to this, so there's no reason for me to
hold on to,
even though I already know it's a great game, but I'm just gonna
pretty
have to
good,
back
yeah.
To
it.
Now
it's
is
not
it
gonna be one you'll miss the most? I mean, you know.
Because I was pumped, like when I was reading about that game, I'm like, "Yeah, this game sounds like it's gonna be something sweet," you know. And I was reading like up on it like well ahead of time, and then it came out and it kind of got lackluster reviews, so I kind of held off on it. So
it's a little bit of a letdown. Like it's, okay. I still think that there's enough to it to. I actually want to go back and beat the game, but I don't know, like the kind of dialogue bits of it where you're trying to sort of interrogate people and stuff like that. It's tough to really guess what's going on. It's a little too, I guess, binary, I guess is the right way to put it. I don't know. It's cool, but it's a shell of what it should be, I think, is really. Yeah. So you're not going to miss it too much. It's not a bad one to give off.
So what I have been doing is, so I have this growing backlog and I thought I'm going to get FIFA for sure. And I've been saying that since October. I saw it at E3 last year, and I was gaga over it. The physics just looked amazing. Seemed like they'd improved a lot. Everything I've played of FIFA has always been this great, challenging game, especially the last three or four iterations. I've just been getting better and better and better.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I thought, I'm going to go through this backlog, no problem. There's no major releases coming out this year. And it just hasn't happened because I've gotten back into sports games, which I'd been out of for a while, just because there's so many other things that have been releasing. And I usually hold on to my Maddens for about 3 years before I upgrade to the next level. But
really,
yeah. So FIFA's on my to get list, but I haven't got it yet. So I'll probably wait for the next sale that drops it down to like $30 or $20 and pick it up then. I have picked up Xenoblade Chronicles for the Wii. So I'm a huge JRPG fan, and it saddens me that we haven't gotten the abundance of JRPGs in the U.S.
Right.
Like what we used to have in the PS1, PS2, even back in the Super NES, NES era. This era has been really about the visuals and the AI and the glitz and glamour, which JRPGs really aren't built for, especially the turn-based ones and so forth. So I picked up Xenoblade thinking, you know what, if anything, I've got to support the genre and show that it's still viable, it can still make sales. And I've been playing it. And I've been looking forward to it for a while, for the 2 years since it was released in Japan. And it's so good.
Good.
For those people that don't know, it's a Wii game. It was part of that the era of Wii RPGs from 2 years ago that Nintendo was trotting around as, hey, guys, we're gonna start pushing more core games out. And I remember seeing it at E3 back when it was called Monado.
But then we're not going to release it.
Yeah, exactly. So 2 years ago, they finally release it, and it's so good. It's just the overall mechanic of the game, the expanse of the world is fantastic. It's got some elements of Western like MMOs mixed in with kind of classic Japanese role-playing games and even some of the more modern ones like what was that Chopin game that was released for the Xbox and PS3? It's on the tip of my tongue. Well, anyways, it was an RPG based on like the dreams of Chopin. There's some elements of that in there. Super well done. It's from the folks that have made the Xenogears and Xenosaga, which were both great games. But yeah, it's got elements of everything, and they've strung it together to make it work just brilliantly. The game looks like ass. It's already
it does.
Yeah, it's already.
I've heard some people try and say that it does look good, but on kind of a Wii sort of terms.
It looks fine on a Wii, but that was two years ago when they released it. So you got to think it's been over two years since then. I mean, look at like even current Wii games that have come out since then, like Mario Galaxy 2.
Mario Galaxy 2 came out, yeah, and that
That blows it away. Some of the games that came out this last, Zelda obviously blows it away. So
Just Dance 3 probably blows
Just Dance
it away.
3 blows
Just Dance 3. Just Dance 3 looks so good.
So good. Just those so graphics. Good. Those
best sprites. Graphics of all time for this generation.
The Katy Perry sprites are just amazing.
You put Katy Perry on any of my games, and it's a 10 out of 10. Yeah. Just saying.
But it just plays so well. It has this awesome the battle mechanic is another great thing. It has this element of the battles where you'll be facing off against this giant beast, and just before he kills off one of your characters, you get this kind of bright flash of kind of seeing the critical hit take place, and then it gives you the time to avoid and do certain things to make sure that hit doesn't take place. You can kind of save your characters ahead of time before they get critically wounded. It just plays, it's just so good. I mean, it really is. It's a long, super long game. I'm only about like 6 or 7 hours in, but I can already tell it's going to be a long haul. There's a ton of side quests to go along with this mission, the main mission. It's really good. If you have a Wii, you have to get this game. If you're a fan of JRPGs, you have to get this game just to help keep that genre alive. Even if you don't own a Wii, just buy the game. You can only get it at GameStop and from Nintendo, surprisingly. You can't get it at Best Buy or any place else, which is kind of stupid, but whatever. So I say just get it. Help support the developers because it's worth it. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing that MLB 2K12. I've been, of course, Justin Verlander is one of my favorite players. Is on
well,
the cover,
yeah,
so I had
of
to,
course, yeah,
yeah, no Detroiter. So I had to pick him up or pick the game up because of him and support. And there are parts of the game which are so fun, and then there are parts of the game which are just frustrating. The character building, where you kind of take your player from the minors through to the majors, is. It's just ass backwards. It
really? It's terribly long, isn't it?
It's so long. The controls change. So on a typical baseball game, when you're using the diamond, right? You're using the controls. You hit the.
It's backwards. Yeah,
it's backwards, which is totally wrong. Yeah, I know it tries to put you in the position, and that's what they're trying to teach you is this is the position you're going to be in. But you're never going to play the main game like that. I mean, it really is like two separate games. So you have to kind of relearn how to play a baseball sim before it gets tolerable. And I found that really frustrating. And then there's that point where as a minor league player that you kind of figure out the controls and you figure out how to hit the ball and how to get good solid hits. And I went on this tear of, I think like I had something like 30 out of 30 hits in a row.
Wow.
Yeah. No home runs. I hadn't hit a home run at this point, but just solid singles, doubles, triples. Mm-hmm. I had one inside the park home run.
That's pretty impressive to get the grasp for the hitting mechanics in that game so quick.
Yeah, well, it took a while, but once I finally got it, I mean, it was great to get that, to say, okay, I'm able to hit the ball every single time. But then, I don't know if it's programmed in this way or what, or if the computer AI figures you out in a certain way, but I went through this nasty slump, just abysmal, where my batting average went from... At one point, my batting average was like 480 for a stretch of like, 20 games.
Was this your created guy?
Yeah, the created guy.
Yeah.
It dropped down to like 120 after that because it was just they had figured me out and I couldn't bunt. I couldn't hit. And I was doing the same thing that I'd been doing before. So it's very up and down. It's very much a roller coaster. So I decided, I'm just going to put that part aside and go back to the just kind of the main game, which I think it's solid. It plays fine. There are some mechanical issues I was having with how slow some of the players were on the field. It didn't seem quite right. The ball would go out into the outfield, and the ball's about to hit the lawn and you still can't see your character on the screen because the camera hadn't panned up fast enough.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just found some of those issues to be a little awkward. But the pitching is really good. I really do enjoy pitching probably more than hitting in the game. The mm-hmm. mechanic seems to work really well. So,
well,
yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
That's actually my, like, the my player mode or whatever is my favorite mode in the game because I didn't pick it up this year yet. Mm-hmm. Because I normally just create a pitcher. And so, because I like the pitching so much in the game. In the last 2 years, it's been pretty fun. But I noticed that you go straight from, like, double A to the majors all the time. So I don't know about this year, but the last 2 years, it's like you do well enough in the minors and then you can make the big club. Hmm. But from what it sounds like, so, like, the hitting, like, 1 year I was in the minors for the Pirates organization because my parents were born in Pittsburgh, so I'm a big, you know, I'm a big Pittsburgh fan, like all sports, as well as Detroit. So, you know, being on the Pirates, you know, my guy had to bat, and I kind of figured that out. But then last year I created a guy in the Tigers organization, so we never batted, so I was always pitching. So I didn't really have to deal with a lot of the batting that you're talking about. But from what it sounds like they put in some of the NBA 2K logic into the baseball game to where, you know, there's games you play in NBA 2K 12 or 11 mm-hmm. or 10 mm-hmm. or 9 that, you know, you could be playing a game and, like, you start out the game and you're hitting every shot. And the next thing you know, you go stone cold for, like, a quarter and a half. You can't even hit layups and you can't do anything. And it sounds like that's kind of sounds like what you've been experiencing while batting.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's almost like a simulated mental breakdown for the player, for the character on the screen, right? Because you have characters will in the regular season in real life baseball or any sport, they'll go through their ups and downs. They'll have their you know, their streaks of bad games and good games. And it seems like they're almost trying to forcefully simulate it. Within MLB 2K, and I haven't played NBA 2K yet this year to see if it's any different. But I think that was what kind of bothered me a little bit about the game, and it kind of took away some of the fun because I love realism in sports games. I mean, part of the fun of a simulation is the fact that you really have to be tactical and plan a lot of things out and plan your moves ahead of time, and you have to know, like, for instance, in this game, you have to know when to bunt and which direction to bunt in. And they can get really, really, you know, strategic to the point where you're playing manager, right? Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, there's some days where I just want to go out and just bash the ball and score 20 runs and beat the crap out of the Blue Jays. And you can't. you're kind of stuck in this weird zone in the middle where you can just barely get out of that managerial strategic area enough to get a taste of what kind of an old school baseball game would be like.
Sure.
But it's just not quite there. And I don't want to go to, like, the bigs or some of these super deformed baseball games to get that experience. I do like to play as my favorite MLB players in somewhat realism, but still be able to kind of master the game and score a ton of runs and score a ton of points by the end of the season and mm-hmm. have all my guys as MVPs. But you almost can't seem to do that anymore with some of the more realistic games. There's kind of that cap, obviously. So,
well it depends. Like for basketball, the NBA Live was the counter to NBA 2K. It's where with NBA Live, you can kind of run around and, you know, score a bunch of points. Yeah. Yeah. And then NBA 2K12, I like the game, but I don't play it nearly as much because, again, you got to grind the whole game. Yeah. And it's like, man, come on. Like, and I get blown out and it sucks. And now, granted, I should use a better team than the Warriors pre-Monte Ellis trade. But they're fun because they're supposed to put up a lot of points, you know. Uh-huh. Like, I should be able to run up and down and score, but they have no inside presence. So, you know, that kind of kills it. But, yeah, but NBA is kind of like that, so I hear what you're saying when it comes to the MLB games. It's like sometimes, like, 2K has this thing to where, like, they go towards the hardcore crew.
Yeah.
And I can kind of see where, you know, you might want to ease up a little bit. But, man, it gets intense sometimes and to where it's not as fun.
Mm-hmm. Right. With MLB 2K12, what you should do, Dolly, is you should try doing the my player, the sort of my player mode. Create a pitcher for that and play as a pitcher, because if there's anything that if you're looking for the kind of that tactic and that strategy and stuff in this year's game, they added that added strategy and those sorts of layers in the pitching mechanics. Yep. So I'm wondering if they kind of try and replicate that in the batting, but they don't have any sort of like a definable like graphics that indicate any of these things at all. Mm-hmm. But with the pitching, batters get used to throwing the same balls, and the effectiveness of your pitches sort of, I guess you'd say, it sort of devolves over time. It decreases over time. So you are forced to sort of change your strategy throughout the course of a game. And I think, you know, there's that sort of little added like levels, and then there's different sort of error bits come into play too with that. So I think that was the cool thing with this year's game with that, was that added strategy and pitching. I know for me with my player, it didn't seem like that really changed all that much. So I mean, Craig, you'll probably still enjoy my player if you pick up this year's game. But
Probably. I just, you know, summer comes around, and then again, you know how the release schedule is. Yeah. Right when you start getting into MLB, NCAA football comes out. Yeah, and then it's NCAA like, oh, Madden comes out.
Yeah. And then late summer, and then we get Madden. And
Right.
Yeah, it definitely does kind of fall at that awkward time of the year. Mm-hmm.
It's serviceable, though. Yeah. I mean, if anything, it is a serviceable way to get your baseball fix.
Oh, totally. I almost wish it would come out, beginning of January or right beginning of February when spring training kicks off. You know, spring baseball kicks off.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And then I've been playing Spell Tower for the iOS. It's an indie game made by one guy. And it's, if you've ever played, I mean, it's one of those, like, word scramble games where you're trying to find, you know, all the letters you can that form a word. But you're timed, obviously. You have specific goals to meet. It's like a cross between a couple different genres, but with, like, a little bit of Tetris thrown in there, so... It's fun. I noticed a lot of people were playing it, and a lot of my friends on Twitter kept chatting about it, and people were talking about it at PAX East, and I ended up seeing it there at PAX East, and I thought I'll give it a try, and it's pretty fun. It's one of those great, you know, bathroom break games where you can just sit in the stall and work out some words,
right?
It's not challenging. I think it again with these types of word games, it gets to a point where the design of them prohibits you from going any further. Let me rephrase it. This game is kind of smart in that if you're running out of words that you can form from the letters on the screen, the next row that bumps in will give you a few more letters that you can actually start forming words from. But you will eventually get to that point where you can't form any words on the screen from anything to meet their goals, yet the game is still ticking away. It's still waiting for you to make a move. There's no like instant give up or, you know, there's no power ups or, you know, things like that to actually help you along. So it's a fun game. It's got its faults, but I'd give it a shot for people that were interested in just something different on their iPhones. So.
And this is iOS, yeah?
Yeah, this is iOS, yep.
How much is it?
I think it was 99 cents.
Oh, okay, cool.
When it comes on to iOS games, if it's like, usually if it's $2.99 or less, I have no issue picking it up, giving it a whirl. Because it's a coffee in the morning. I'll just hold off and brew my own. So, what have you been playing, Mike?
Oh, so many things. At first, I haven't really been playing anything. And then as we were talking, I'm like adding to the list.
Yeah, I saw a couple on your list that I thought, what? Really?
Yeah, really. Like, it's a lot of this is like in the last week, a little bit here and there, you know. So more consistently, I've been playing Trials Evolution. And, you know, that is that's what everybody expects it to be. I think everybody kind of knows what's up with that. It's fun. It sucks because I can never top my leaderboards, like my friends' leaderboards. So I'm kind of working through the game to make sure I can get all the bikes I can. And then that way I can try and challenge some of my friends' scores on Xbox Live. So that's, you know, it's fun, but it's nothing, you know, incredible. So I like that game. That's been fun. I play Madden 12 pretty much every week, but primarily because I'm in an online franchise for that game. Because through Fourth String, we have a pretty solid community for for leagues and for online play and stuff. So we have two leagues through our community that we run. That's sort of like, as people have been getting sick of Madden 12, has been kind of winding down, but heading into Madden 13, we'll charge in and have more fun with it. But I just played against the Colts. I control the Packers because I'm a huge Packers fan. Go Packers. And so I beat the Colts like handily, like almost like 34 to something. So that was a lot of fun. But I mean, I still do that. And it's kind of nice when we're in this off-season period for football. And you know that so many people are starved for football that they still cling to all of the NFL draft talk and all that stuff. I mean, Madden's always kind of filled that gap for me. Even though it's, you know, months after the games come out, I've had a pretty consistent time in the past couple of years playing Madden throughout the year. So that's one that's kind of always an old standby for me. You know, I keep my disc, and especially when you play in leagues, which can fill that gap really well, it can be really fun. That's kind of been an ongoing thing for me. I also keep playing Mass Effect 3. I love the multiplayer in that, so I'm still playing multiplayer in that game. I beat it a long time ago, but eventually I'm going to follow it up with another full campaign from the first game through the last one. So,
Have you played the first two Mass Effects?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I played the first two. I have a Renegade run that I started in the first game, but I haven't followed up with it in some time because then I kind of jumped into other games. But yeah, I mean, I beat the everything with Mass Effect 3, and I kind of did a lot of the missions and stuff. But suddenly they released like this new pack with two new multiplayer maps and some other stuff. Yeah. And I kind of got right back into it, and I've been playing that here and there, you know, just a couple of missions with people. So
I haven't played the multiplayer yet. And I've heard a couple different reviews of that. I mean, Everybody I know has been kind of focusing on the single player, so I'd be interested to know like what's drawing you to that multiplayer. What makes it intriguing for you?
I think, you know, I think it's the same with a lot of games that you can play online. You know, I go back to Madden. It's about kind of who you play with sometimes, because I've got decent group of people that I've played multiplayer with specifically with Mass Effect 3. And I mean, I love the series. I consider it probably my favorite series in gaming. And so I guess it's a little easier for me to be drawn to it because I love the different races and stuff. But it's not, you know, I'll be the first to admit the multiplayer for Mass Effect 3 is nothing really all that special. It's sort of horde mode. I guess it's horde mode basically from the Gears of War series, right? I don't know if people played, cause I haven't played that. I've just heard people refer to it as that, you know, the kind of squad based complete the stuff. And it's, you know, the same thing that draws you into playing MMOs and stuff is really just collecting things and leveling up and stuff. And I get a kick out of it. And I really love the shooting mechanics and stuff in Mass Effect 3. And I still, ever since the second game, I've absolutely loved being adept and throwing biotic stuff at enemies. That's always felt really cool, especially when you map that stuff to shoulder buttons. So, I don't know. It's just been a thing that I just kind of pop in and still enjoy, you know, but it's not amazing. But yeah, it is fun. I popped in UFC Undisputed 3 a little bit, and I still play that a little bit too. So that might be, and it's so early, but that might be my sports game of the year, honestly.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. UFC Undisputed 3 is really good. And it's so sad that it hasn't sold very well. But I mean, it's better than the other two games that have released in the series. I think it's fantastic. So that's a game that I love. And oh, and then this week I started playing Pokemon White again on 3. So I don't know why, but I'm heavily back into that. That's been fun too. So that's been, you know, I'm all over the place with these games, but, yeah, it's been a lot of different things for like a little bit at a time, you know?
It's interesting you mentioned Pokemon White. Obviously, they announced Pokemon White Part 2.
Yes, yeah.
First of all, are you a kind of an avid Pokemon fan, or have you played them in the past?
I have, but I'm not avid. I've missed a lot of games in there. You know, like I loved Red and Blue way back in the day, and then I think I pretty much stopped until Gold and Silver or Soul. No, not even that. I mean like Soul Silver and Heart Gold. Like I played those. And then those were obviously the ones before Black and White. And then now I got Pokemon White. And I played a good amount of that and then stopped for a while. I would say however long that would be, it had to have been at least a year, it seems. But those, I mean, I really do enjoy the games, but I'm not, I wouldn't, I guess avid wouldn't be the right word for it. But I am excited for the idea that there's new games coming in the series. Do you know if they're DS or if they're 3DS?
Well, they're DS, but they're releasing a 3DS app. They're kind of updating the Pokedex 3DS app for those people who have it. And a separate AR 3DS app, again, also in 3D, that you'll be able to actually grab characters or Pokemon from there through events and stuff and bring them into your DS cart. Pokemon, so they're tying it in there, so there's a little bit of added functionality. I know a lot of people were wondering why they didn't just go ahead and make this a 3DS game. I guess the, I mean, it would definitely be a system seller for the 3DS.
Oh yeah, absolutely. That's why I wonder myself. That seems like that's kind of a given.
One of the, there's a couple theories. One is that they already had a lot of the assets that were created from the original Pokemon game, Pokemon Black and White, that they just they hadn't put to use, so they kind of put them together, much like they did with Mario Galaxy 2, all the kind of extra levels and stuff, and Yoshi. They just kind of put it together in a whole separate game.
Right.
So if they were going to do it to 3DS, they would have to just start all over, you know, with a whole new game. So that's one theory. The other theory is that there isn't a whole lot coming out in Japan for the 3DS from Nintendo over the next few months. I think the next game is, and we'll get into it in August, that's specifically for the 3DS. So they wanted to get a couple more handheld games in there before the fall comes in. So they kind of timed this because, again, they had a lot of the assets. They had a lot of the sprites and a lot of the or pixels, you know, whatever, all the visuals and mechanic already built up. So instead of creating something new from the ground up, they kind of put a B team together to build it up. So that's the other rumor, the other side of things. And I mean, I can understand both. Do you want another good Pokemon game? Just reuse a lot of the assets? Yeah, no problem.
I mean, Black and White, they're great games. You know, by all means, I'll take that.
So I don't think people that play it aren't going to complain. They're going to enjoy it, especially if they haven't picked up a 3DS yet. I think the ability to import Pokemon or whatever they're doing with the AR stuff that's 3DS specific is kind of nice, because then at least if you do have a 3DS, you can actually have some fun with the Pokemon game. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how well it'll sell. I think people still want to see a next gen Pokemon game, but you know, I think it'll do fine.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, it's weird that it's actually a direct sequel. That sounds kind of odd to me. You know, I'm not used to that idea. I guess it's like, 2 years after the events in the first, in the last game. So I don't know. That's odd. But I'll take it. You know, of course.
More games are always good, especially if they're already good games.
Yeah, just more for my my pile of shame.
Exactly.
Your backlog.
Yeah. My backlog, yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break here. We're going to get on to some news, just a short news segment, and then we'll get into kind of the main reason I had you guys on. In the meantime, listeners at home, again, check us out at sidequesting.com. Check out Mike at
Mike Suzak on Twitter. And at fourthstring.com.
And then Craig Gonzalez at Craig Gonzalez.
Yeah, can I spell that? That would be CraigGonzalez.
There you go. And then at Console Sports or ConsoleSports.net. Yeah. And we'll be right back after this to get into some news. And we are back to the side quest. Again, we are episode 404. I am here with Mike Suzak and Craig Gonzalez. We just spoke a little bit about what games we have been playing. Now we're going to talk about some of the news that goes along with with games. Big news of the day, and I actually kind of shocked Mike a little bit beforehand, was Adam Sessler is leaving G4 TV. The main reason that it started with Kotaku reporting it, but since then, Sess has been, he kind of mentioned it. Today was his last show on G4. Supposedly it's a contractual issue, and it was not a friendly departure. So there were definitely some issues there, but yeah, at least the way Kotaku was reporting it. It was definitely a dispute involved there, but kind of sounds like he wants to stay in the quote unquote game for reporting in front of a camera about video games. I don't know about you guys. He's been around since 98. I think that's when I started watching. Back then it was ZDTV, and he did the stuff for GameSpot before they kind of branched off on their own. So I remember him from way back in the day doing that. He's kind of like the elder statesman of video game journalism in terms of being in front of an audience and being well known and really kind of pulling out all the stops to do his job. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see what he ends up doing from here on out. And who knows how much we'll actually find out about this quote unquote contract issue, but for someone who is the face of, kind of video reporting about video games, especially on G4, I think if anything that really hurts G4, they hadn't been building up their younger talent pool as much as they should have been. They'd been kind of relying on Adam to anchor that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens to X-Play. I know Morgan Webb does a great job on there, and so does a lot of the other folks they have on there that help out. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens here on out at G4. I mean, their ratings have been going down, so.
I mean, the big question is where's Adam going to go? Where is he going to take his talents? Because, I mean, that's just it. Like, it's funny, like, take his talents. Like, he's going to be part of the Miami Heat.
Right, but exactly. No,
like really, the guy is good. Like, really good. I don't think it's unfair to say that he's one of the smartest minds that was at G4 talking about games. Like, I have a lot of respect for him as far as what he's done in the past. And like you said, Dolly, for how long he's been in the game. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of watch where he moves to, a lot of people joke around about him being the next addition to Polygon now, the Vox Games team. But I mean, they don't need like a fourth person that could be editor in chief there. Cause like they have a lot of people that are really capable of heading that whole team. This is a guy that part of me honestly would wish that he would start a new project on his own to sort of help grow games in multiple directions. That would be amazing if he could do that. But, it's hard to say. And if it's part of if it's a contractual dispute, then that's an interesting thing to think about too. Can only imagine what that means.
You know what? You look at, other people that do what he does and he definitely is, far and away, he has the quote unquote the hustle, right? He's been doing it. He puts his career. Seems like he puts his career ahead of his his family almost. You see him at every gaming event working for G4. I mean, he was at PAX East. Bumped into him a few times there, and it seemed like he was always reporting wherever he was. I'd seen him at E3 a few times. I'd seen him all over the place. I think he even had shown up to the Detroit Auto Show one year reporting on some of the car related racing games that were there. So the man is everywhere. I kind of see him as the Dick Clark of video games journalism and reporting. And then you look back and you're like, well, then who would be the Ryan Seacrest? And that would be Jeff Keighley, who's kind of
Jeff Keighley doing the bonus round stuff, especially with game trailers. And he does a great job hosting that too. Definitely. I mean, it would be unfair to say that, games writing and games, discussions started in like 98 because, you can go back to the 80s for people that really helped pioneer these things. And you think about the different magazines and stuff, but it, you know, when you do this sort of thing, standing in front of a camera and talking and sort of, you know, hosting those discussions and stuff and doing interviews and stuff in front of like an audience of millions, potentially, that's a whole different game, you know, and that's something Sessler has done better than anyone. You know, you could make that case.
Yep.
So it's pretty big. This is big news. That's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see what he ends up doing here. And I mean, there's a lot of people right away who would be interested in hiring him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people joked on Twitter. I did see the game trailers joke. I saw the, you know, obviously Polygon, but they're not really doing video yet. I saw, I think Ryan Davis was quoting a lot of stuff or tweeting a lot about Sessler. So everybody has a lot of respect for him.
He, of course.
He could be quirky and wacky at times just by his the amount of, you know, emotion that he always shows, but really great. You know, it's a great move for him because he's finally able to kind of go off and do his own thing. And wherever he ends up, you know, he's going to probably have more power or more say in things than he did at G4, which for all intents and purposes, for those people who don't know, G4 is owned by Comcast. So there's definitely certain things that Comcast lets its talent get away with and things it doesn't because of the whole networking issue and things like that. So there's a lot of red tape tied up there. So for him to be kind of this free agent is a great move for him. So
what I'd honestly love to see now that you brought up the Comcast thing would be seeing him join a different network, because that would be a way to really help grow that spread of games.
Yeah.
And that, I guess, mainstream media. I hate using those words, but I mean, you know, in honest sense, though, because, you know, G4 TV covers a lot of ground in that. But what's challenging that in the big media space? Like, not really much is as far as channels and stuff goes. I mean, if there's another network that's interested in really kickstarting that as well and challenging that and creating content that could match that and do better, possibly, Sessler's the guy you go to, I think, especially knowing that he's out there.
Most, well, maybe G4 is not doing as well as people may think.
That's possible too.
I mean, being a DirecTV subscriber, because obviously I got to have my NFL Sunday ticket. G4 hasn't been on the channel lineup since 2010. And they cite low ratings and they couldn't come to a deal with G4. So maybe, you know, he decided it was time to see what else is out there because, you know, Comcast's own entity, unless they sell it to NBC.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting was just kind of speaking to that issue. I remember being at E3 a couple years ago and my hotel room had Comcast, but it didn't have G4 as one of the networks. And so it was just really bizarre that Comcast on its own in its, you know, in the hometown of where G4 is located, that doesn't even have G4.
So. Did they have Versus?
They did have Versus, surprisingly.
Okay. Did they have like a sign saying G4 is blacked out here for some, like they expect you to attend the tapings?
Please turn to Spike to watch the rest of our content.
Right.
So Sess leaving G4. There was a lot of news that came out over the last few days. Nintendo especially has had a kind of a rocky week over the last few weeks on people talking about the Wii U, what level of power does it have? But something else came up, Nintendo. They do these, I think they're called the Nintendo Direct, the little, these kind of video, video press conferences that are aimed more towards the public than they are towards actual media and press. I mean, the media finds out about whatever Nintendo's going to announce when everybody else does. So it's kind of a cool way to deliver information. I almost wish they would do it through the 3DS in 3D, but maybe they'll get there one day. They announced, Iwata announced that there is going to be new Super Mario Brothers 2 coming for the 3DS. So it'll be a kind of a 2D, 3D Mario.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know if either of you guys had played the original New Super Mario Brothers on the DS or the
Wii
version.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I just picked up a Wii actually like about a year ago, and I played a little bit of it.
Yeah.
Two really fun games. Yeah. Very classic games, inspired. Yeah. Mario games, they're not the best that a Mario game can be, I don't think, but for what you want going into it, you get exactly everything you want. You know, it's totally fun, really classic. So, and they're huge sellers. I mean, I think New Super Mario Brothers Wii sold and still continues to sell constantly. It's almost always in the top 15, even to this day. And same with Mario Kart. So Nintendo knows that the Mario brand, no matter how thin they spread it, continues to sell well just because it's Mario.
Well, they package it with the Wii. Yeah, so yeah. That's why I bought it, because my fiance wanted a Wii for Christmas. Or I just bought it for Christmas because I know she liked the Just Dance series. And like, so when you're going to go buy a Wii, you're like, well, am I just going to buy a Wii and not get any games? Or I can buy the Wii and get the Mario Brothers. I got the red one. It was really nice.
Oh, cool.
So you get like more content with that, like $200 or whatever, than buying everything separately. So I think that I have a feeling that might kind of skew the.
Well, at least now they do. I mean, that game did sell pretty well considering this. Sure. I'm trying to think when it released relation to sort of the Wii's life. You know,
it released, what was 2 years ago, right?
Two years ago.
It released when Black Ops released. Was it Black Ops, right? Or was it Modern Warfare 2? No, it was Black Ops. It released in Black Ops.
I mean, those games will continue to sell well when, I mean, Nintendo keeps releasing good Mario games. I mean, the fact is I don't think there's really been a Mario game, like an actual Mario game to date. I mean, because there's a lot of spinoffs, but an actual Mario game that's ever really been bad. You know, I mean, people make the case they don't like Mario Sunshine. But aside from that, I mean, all these new Super Mario games and stuff, I mean, they have been really good. So I do look forward to this game on the 3DS. And knowing that it might have that weird kind of 2D yet 3D thing you were talking about, I look forward to that. It's always good to have a new 3DS game.
Did you play Mario 3D Land?
Yes. Yeah, I have that. I haven't played a ton of it, but I did play that. And that was cool. It's different.
I really enjoyed it. It was the more I play Mario 3D Land, the more it just kept growing on me as just a fantastically fun experience.
Yeah.
So
thanks for reminding me. I have that. I think I'm going to play that tonight. Now that you said it, I mean, it's good fun.
It is. It is. Especially if you're, I mean, there definitely is two sides to that game, because there's kind of the eight worlds, which are, kind of the more, I don't want to say casual, cause there are some challenge. There are definitely challenges to it.
Of course.
You can go through those eight levels, complete it at kind of your own pace, but then it opens up a whole separate other world where they remix all the levels and introduce a few more, which are really challenging. And it's definitely for folks that are into hardcore puzzle solving and
dubstep.
And dubstep, yeah.
That's exactly. Part of the remix is the bass.
Count me out.
Drops. No, no, not into that.
Skrillex Mario Brothers.
You know what? That is a whole nother conversation that could last for hours.
Whoa. I think with this new Super Mario Brothers 2, what I'd love to see with that would be some multiplayer in the same vein as new Super Mario Brothers Wii. Sure. That would be fantastic. If I could get some of that going, then I'm absolutely pumped for this game then.
Well, we're going to hear more about it, obviously, at E3 here.
E3
next
is going to be
the game's set to release in August in Japan and the US. So,
yeah,
I'm kind of surprised.
Take that, Japan.
Yeah, there's sometimes Nintendo can do a really good job of keeping a secret, and then when they do announce a game, it takes forever to be released. Like Skyward Sword took years and years and years to
find.
I think it was like 3 years after they initially announced it.
How about that Pikmin game, Miyamoto?
Yeah, Pikmin, which I think he announced before Skyward Sword. And now they do things like this, or with Pokemon Black and White 2, where they'll say, Hey, guess what, guys? You didn't know that we even had this game coming out. It's coming out in 3 months.
Yeah, so that rules. There. I'm all for that.
Yeah.
So also that Nintendo Direct thing. There was some other stuff, right?
Mm-hmm. There are a few other things that came out of there.
Yeah.
Great segue. anytime I have to call out a segue, I just get bashed by Eric and Steven for...
No. It's good to call them out as much as possible. Pay as much. These are the production notes. If only we had Adam Sessler here. Can we get him running the show?
He's not. You couldn't line him up. He's not doing anything.
That's very true. I'm going to hire him to take over all the video for side questing.
Oh, that would be like you would shoot through the roof.
That would be the coup of all coups. They announced a bunch of games there. They announced there's a. It's Kirby's 20th anniversary, so they're going to be packaging a lot of the classic Kirby's together on one disc, much like they did with the Mario games.
A bunch of Kirby ROMs and
essentially. I'm just kind of upset. This is also Metroid's 25th anniversary, yet they're doing nothing for Metroid this
year.
What
a bunch of jerks, right?
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I could see them doing, I mean, you know what they're going to wind up doing. They're going to say, ooh, happy 25th anniversary. We remembered. Here's a bunch of, like, eShop virtual console titles.
That's I just don't think Metroid is fluffy enough.
That's true.
Sorry, I know you guys are Nintendo fans, but, I mean, Metroid actually had, like, a little violence and a little, you know, guns.
Well, they're really
explosions.
There really only were three Metroid games that were released prior to Metroid Prime, right? I mean, there was Metroid, Metroid 2 on Game Boy, and then Super Metroid, and that was it for like 10 plus years, I think, maybe even longer. So I don't doubt they're really that's really not enough to put on one disc, because you can get two of those games already on Virtual Console, so. I think that's
and they already did the Metroid Prime trilogy thing for Wii. So I mean, with that already kind of having been done, you would think this would have been the year to do it otherwise. Yeah. But I think they were smart enough to realize, hey, we need to sell some Wii consoles. Yeah. And if people want to get on board with this,
re-releasing that Metroid Prime trilogy though. And say, hey, by the way,
they could do that like on Wii U or something, that would be amazing.
Exactly.
That'd be great. With the screen inside the controller, I could sit on the toilet all day.
Well, that is one of the rumors that they'll be announcing a new Metroid Prime game or a Metroid game for the Wii U, which to me that would be so fucking badass.
Oh, I want that so much. Now that you said that, man.
Nintendo also announced some 3DS firmware updates. Obviously, now they'll be able to update games, take patches. Finally, mm-hmm. Nintendo got with the program from about, 6 years ago?
Xbox. Yeah, that was the joke you tweeted.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Happy 2007, Nintendo. But folders.
Yes!
You can actually do folders in 3DS. To anybody who doesn't own a 3DS, this doesn't seem like a big issue.
Oh, it's a huge issue.
It's huge. Think of it this way. Remember the hullabaloo that came about when Apple said, hey, now you can do folders on the iPhone?
Or now you can do copy paste.
You can do copy paste. It's exactly that kind of, it's a small little thing, but God, it makes such a huge difference in user interface and organization. And now instead of just being a sea of apps with just, you know, a bunch of buoys floating out in the ocean where you're hoping you'll catch on to one.
Right.
You can actually organize stuff. You can actually use your 3DS like a gosh darn, actual mobile device, right? It's not So I think
I updated the firmware for my 3DS today. It actually just came out today. And I had, it used to be just like one long row of apps and you have to scroll for what seems like, I don't know, 2 or 3 hours. Like basically I just scroll through it while I'm watching a movie or something because it felt like that long. But, I mean, now it's, you know, I put together like 4 different folders for different games and apps and stuff on there. Yep. And it's just now all of my things are on one screen and it sounds so stupid, but it's the best firmware update I've had forever, it seems, you know. And I forget. There's probably some other things to this firmware update, but that was enough for me to just be thrilled. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you said that there's what, 3DS game updates or patches that they can finally do?
Allowing patches. They had actually done them a while ago. You know, a couple months ago for some of the virtual console games that were given to the ambassadors, but you had to re-download the entire game. Now Nintendo's able to do patches and do stuff. You get a notification whenever there's a patch. You just download the patch instead of downloading the whole update. So re-downloading the game all over again. So and for boxed games as well. So Kid Icarus, for instance, is going to have patches where they allow for everything is really, a bunch of new content, new weapons, new strategies. It really extends the game, fills it up even more, and adds even more control methods, except for the one control method that everybody freaking wants, which is
the dual pad.
The dual pad. Why? Maybe in the future. Update, but at least
is that a game that I should play? Have you played that?
Yes. Oh, I love it.
It is good. Okay, I'm gonna have to
except for the controls, which do take time getting used to. Once you get used to controls, like the first couple levels of right. the game, you're fine. The visuals are fantastic. Playing.
Yeah, I was reading a review on it the other day. I think JC Fletcher reviewed it at Joystick, and it seemed I got the same vibe from it, where it's if you can learn the controls, then you'll be fine.
Definitely, definitely. And it's
all right. Cool.
Great writing in that game. But so yeah, there's 3DS stuff is moving. There's that rumor out there that there'll be an announcement of the 3DS Lite at E3. Who knows? I mean, they're launching the Wii U, so you never know what's going to happen with Nintendo. They could announce. And actually, I think tonight they even have an investor call taking place, either tonight or tomorrow morning. So we might be hearing some news coming out of there too. So nice. Other news, other announcements. We have an announcement of an announcement.
Okay, good.
This ties in, all right, get this. This ties in gaming and sports and war all together.
Oh, good.
Come on.
Need more
every
of that.
Great thing in America. Yeah. Call of Duty. We know there's a new Call of Duty. There's one every year. All right. Mm-hmm. While Activision never officially says there's a new Call of Duty until they actually announce it, we always know that one is coming, especially since they've been alternating Infinity Ward, Treyarch, Infinity Ward, Treyarch. We got the official word now from Activision that there's going to be a new Call of Duty this year.
Duh.
It's going to come out, I think, the 13th of November. All they've told us is that they're going to reveal the game, the name, everything on May. I think it's May 2nd, which is the first game of the NBA, the first night of the NBA playoffs. It's going to be revealed on TNT.
Okay.
It's not the first time that Activision has done it with Call of Duty. They did it with the original Black Ops 2 years ago, mm-hmm. Revealed the game on TNT during the playoffs. They were supposed to do it last year, but there was that whole huge leak where some of the trailers appeared online and marketing materials appeared on. I think it was Kotaku got a huge scoop about that stuff.
Right.
So they were Activision's hand was kind of forced, and they had to announce Modern Warfare 3 early. But
Call American Duty, Revolution. Can't believe they're doing it.
The rumor,
they could pretty much show the same trailer every year. I think people would get pumped up.
People
would
be like, "Oh my God, there's a new Call of Duty! Wait, that's from Call of Duty 2. Yeah, but it's a new one. The logo looks like the Black Ops logo. But we saw a kind of a viral video released just a couple days ago with the guys from FPS Russia showcasing a new the Activision kind of helped co-create this video showcasing a quadricopter. So they're thinking, you know, that some of the internet rumors are maybe kind of some influences in the past, you know, in the Vietnam era, whatever, and then some influences in modern day, and even some influences in future weapons. So this may actually span a little bit more than just one era of war. So could be really interesting and really cool. I think it's Call of Duty. I don't know. Do you guys play Call of Duty games?
You know, I've skipped the last couple because it kind of gets redundant. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't mind once in a while, like just being able to plug in the game and just light people up for a while. But like, I just don't really, it's not a must have game for me every year. Cause I did like the original Modern Warfare, and I don't play online that much. So, I do like the single player campaigns. It's not a must have for me every year. Now, if they go back to Vietnam, I haven't, as far as I know, they haven't had like a Harrier jet in any of the games. I would just want to see that once.
that could be pretty cool. I'm kind of in the same boat. It's not a must have purchase for me because whenever a Call of Duty launches, there's usually a lot of other great games that launch around that same time, and so I'm just as happy playing these other games. I'm not much I'm not a huge online gamer. Unless it's a sports game, I'm not big into the FPS online stuff, but I can. It is kind of a mindless game where you can just throw in any Call of Duty game, and it plays like every other Call of Duty game controller wise. Right. And I mean, there isn't a whole lot different there. The mechanics are so fine tuned that they're basically the perfect FPS mechanics, I guess you could say. But I think that I mean, it's another Call of Duty game. It'll sell a bajillion. Black Ops is still the top selling Call of Duty game. It's still more than Modern Warfare 3. And it actually has a huge following. And some of the stuff that Treyarch did was really cool. I mean, Mike, are you a Call of Duty gamer?
I'm not. I think it's the same thing for me. The last one I played a significant amount of was Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Yeah, it was Modern Warfare 2. And outside of that, I mean, I played a lot of World at War, but then, I mean, the last two or whatever, Black Ops and Modern Warfare 3, I didn't even touch at all. So, I mean, it's one of those series where, yeah, I mean, I grow a little tired of it because, I don't know, I look at all these other games that release and I feel like I'm seeing a lot of new things and a lot of exciting things that I can't justify playing much or any of that. And I try to not paint with such a broad brush because there are people that really just genuinely enjoy these games year in and year out. And they really do bring something new in like the single player campaigns that nobody buys the game for anyways, you know, but it's good stuff, but it's just not my thing. And it doesn't help that I am not particularly good at playing FPS is online. So, I mean, when I do play, I just feel like I'm just getting just destroyed every time.
Yeah, same thing. I can't play online because I don't pick it up right when it's released. I don't play it nonstop right when it's released. So, like, I get online and I start the level and I get stabbed or something like by someone. And then, like, I respawn somewhere and then I'm dead within like 60 seconds. And I do it over and over again and I just get bored. So,
I mean, you find the same thing with other games, too. Well, I mean, obviously, when people try and play Madden online, they somehow run into the guys that play, like, you know, goal line defense every single down just so they can nano blitz you and sack your quarterback while he tries to hand the ball off, which is just, I hate those people.
Well, I only play guys I know, people I know.
Well, you try and limit it to that. But every once in a while, you know, when you're looking for something new out of that, it's, you know, that still slaps you in the face. So you'll find that all over the place, obviously, you know. But, yeah, I mean, you can't. You just can't. Unless you are a dedicated Call of Duty fan, it's hard to get into that game, you know? So it's exciting. It's always good when a new game in a popular series comes out because it's like, hey, you know, that people that like games have another game to play, I guess. I don't know.
But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Since I play more single player, I feel that the Battlefield Bad Company series gives me more, like, I like that single player better just because you can, like, blow apart buildings and the audio in that game is just awesome. Like, so, I don't know. So, Call of Duty, it's just not, whatever. And people like it, so that's fine, and they're going to sell a ton, but it's not, like, a must-have for me. I can skip some.
It's kind of, it's essentially a Madden of, you know, FPS games, of shooters.
And I get Madden's too, and which we can get into later.
So yeah, if there's a new Call of Duty game, in somewhat related Call of Duty news, former Infinity Ward creative director, community manager, Robert Bowling, left Infinity Ward, I think it was about a month or two ago. And no one really knew where he was going to land. Some people thought he was going to land at Respawn. And work with kind of his old mates creating FPS games, but he has actually instead decided to create his own video game company called Robotaki, and as an independent developer, they're going to be the way he listed it was he's going to be a development studio that happens to make video games. Essentially, he's going to kind of grow his team, kind of get these really young, this fresh talent. I don't want to say young, but this fresh talent who's got a lot of drive, a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. Get them to work together, get them to kind of gel as kind of like a self-made super team, I guess you could say, and then work with either with other developers or work on their own and create these games. And they are already working on a game which they're going to announce later this year for next gen systems. But so he decided to just forego working with other people or working with an established studio and create his own. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see what comes out of it, especially he seems to already be aiming really high and saying, hey, we're developing a game for next-gen consoles. And I think next gen consoles, mobile, and you know, PC, Mac. So, I guess when you have that that experience of working with, you know, with mega franchises like Call of Duty, you can you've probably learned a lot over the years, and probably enough to you know, kind of lead a team of your own.
I'm reading a lot about this whole story with him opening Robotaki and some of his quotes with that. And I'm really liking the sound of this because Robert Bowling. That's it. Mm-hmm. A lot of what he's saying has a lot to do with the sort of vision that people have in creating games and how a lot of that seems to be lost. Properly inspiring and supporting their creative talent and creating an environment where the creative vision holders held complete control over their work and could guide and maintain it from concept to execution. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite thing though that he said was focusing on creating a universe first, experiences second, and game mechanics last.
Yes.
I think that speaks a lot to the kind of games that I honestly want to see, because it's funny that he comes from making these Call of Duty games, which, you know, you could hear the way we just talked about these games, mm-hmm. you know, not even minutes ago, and year in and year out, it's, you know, pounding away at these just absurdly similar experiences. I mean, there's a reason why people do generalize Call of Duty games as all being the same, because damn it, they pretty much are, right? I mean, like, you know, you have those similar mechanics and they add bits here and there, and then they give you some new environments and stuff, and they just, here you go, buy our game. I mean, it seems like he's grown tired of that, and that generally speaking, he wants to give you something new to play with, and that, you know, focusing on game mechanics like so many people do so much should really be the last thing on your mind, compared to saying, what's this universe we want to give people? What are these experiences they want them to have? It seems like he's in this kind of quote in itself. He's sort of saying that other developers think backwards, you know, or at least other publishers want developers to focus on these things mm-hmm. backwards. So I'm really digging that. It'll be interesting to see where they go with it. It sucks that we don't know what they're making yet. And obviously when you hear things like, you know, they're saying they're going to make stuff for everything like iOS Android and the new consoles. So it'll be cool. I mean, I hope they get the backing they need in order to make these games.
It's going to be Call of Skylanders. Call of Skylanders with guns.
They're going to make only licensed games.
Only licensed Nickelodeon games.
Nickelodeon games, right.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah.
Final bit of news we'll discuss. Another sports related bit of news. Majesco, who's right up there with EA and 2K, I think, in Ubisoft and development of sports games, has announced NBA Baller Beat, which, so essentially it's kind of those the EA Fitness and the UFC Sports, those training games for basketball with an actual basketball. Now, let me say it the way I initially said it. You need a fucking real basketball to use this. In your living room with a real basketball. Does this kind of come together at all?
Do you buy like a little square of a basketball court that you can set on your floor if you have carpeting like everybody does in their living room?
So, Mike, you brought up some interesting point, earlier. That if you live on the second floor of any house or
like
any
I do, building, I live in a second floor apartment.
Yep, can't play this.
Nope, I got people living below me. What do you think I can do? I mean, I would maybe do it to my neighbors because they smoke a lot and that smoke drifts up by us. And I'm a non-smoker, so I mean, that kind of sucks. So anytime maybe if I know she's doing that, maybe I plug in NBA Baller Beats and this will be my new game to play at 2 a.m.
The best is on USAtoday.com. Yeah. The title is Xbox 360's NBA Baller Beats could be a game changer.
Oh, yeah. Real game changer, right?
Can we stop with the game changer tagline? I'm just so sick of it this year.
Oh, man.
USA Today, they have the exclusive on the game, and they describe
Oh, good
it.
For them.
Yeah, exactly. You can have it. They describe it as, now this is where things get really crazy. It's not so much a training game as we would all maybe think that it would be.
Sure, yeah.
It's a rhythm music game where what you dribble the basketball to the beat.
Of music?
Of music.
Wow. Wait a minute. Is it the Space Jam soundtrack?
We can only hope. I'd buy it.
That's an instant buy then.
Did you know the two of the best games that Majesco, trivia question, two of the best games that Majesco is known for?
Cooking Mama.
Yes, that's one of them.
Just Dance.
No, Zumba Fitness.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that's they're really? Putting them together.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, damn.
And putting the NBA license. I love how like the NBA just throws their license everywhere.
Yeah, here's the music list. Ready? Here's a track list. Kanye West, Run DMC,
okay.
Gorillaz,
okay.
Them Crooked Vultures,
what?
Common,
yes.
Tiesto, and more.
Okay.
Which Tiesto. All of those together, I think, God, they're only missing one thing, and that's Zombie Nation.
Is that the only thing they're missing?
Also, a good idea.
Remember when we were talking, I would say about 3 minutes ago, about the new development team with that fantastic vision of creating a universe and experiences before the game mechanics? Majesco, pay attention. Like, wow, what is this? What are you doing to my neighbors? Like, I might have to review this game, guys. Don't do this to me.
I'm going to get on the horn at Joystick to make sure you review this game.
Yeah, I think I'm actually, I might, just for fun. But really, you... Like, that's not a joke. You really need a basketball for this?
It's Dance Central with the basketball.
What the heck?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't even.
I do think it's worth mentioning that Majesco should not be confused with, I think it's Jaleco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jaleco that made the.
Gillette?
That made the Jaleco or Jaleco that made the Bases Loaded series.
That's true.
Classic in the sports game.
And Base Wars. Didn't they create Base Wars also?
Ah, oh, Base Wars.
They might have.
Yes, sports games, they have gone downhill.
Yeah, when this kind of thing. Well, let's, you know, we got to give NBA Baller Beats some credit. It is a game changer after all.
Mainstream media has really picked up on it.
It's also a great segue into our third and final section.
good for you. Thank you. Put it at the bottom of the list.
I learned it by watching you.
Wow.
We are going to talk a little bit about two big subjects. One with, as I just mentioned, how games have changed over the years, especially recently with a lot of the new technologies and what we're seeing and what are some of the things we hope to see. And the Madden curse. And well done, by the way, Mike, in the Google Doc. This is episode 404, which is?
A 404 error. Like if you're in your browser, it's, sorry, beers. But no, yeah, that fits in with the Madden curse, which is like a self segue, right?
Yes. So how about you explain to us what this Madden curse is?
Basically, the short version of it is any athlete that's on the cover of Madden generally has some kind of injury or doesn't play as well the year. So if it's like Madden 09, so like the season, though, you know, he doesn't play well in the upcoming season or has some kind of injury. Although personally, I think like the curse tag gets put on some like definitely it's used kind of. They're kind of loose with the term as far as like productivity per season.
Last year's cover athlete, Peyton Hillis, who was also my running back in fantasy football. Yes, thank you.
He was one
much.
Of mine too.
Yeah. He did get injured and then he never quite recovered.
See, I had him the season before.
Oh,
that I picked up on that.
You said he has Madden potential, so I'd better get him now before the next season. So the cover athlete for this year was announced today, part of this whole big hoopla that EA and ESPN put together, is Calvin Johnson, who beat out Cam Newton to be the cover athlete of Madden 13.
Woo!
I know everybody in Green Bay is happy.
No, no. It's not even because of the Madden curse. Like, I can only speak for myself. I'm thrilled that he got it because he does deserve that. You know, when you saw the last couple of players on that list, I think he did stand out as a guy that really earned that cover, which has it's weird because it's like the Madden cover has kind of become this thing that I do think has some sort of notoriety to it now. You know, I think people do, you know, a lot of players nowadays are of that age where they grew up playing games and playing these sports games. So I think that is something that a lot of players actually want is to be on the cover. And they love that notoriety to it. So it's exciting for him. I would be excited if I were a Lions fan.
You know,
absolutely.
What's interesting is that you touched on a really good point there. A lot of these players that are playing now, younger guys in their late 20s, even some of the guys in their early 30s, grew up playing Madden in high school and junior high and elementary school. So they followed this along. And so to have a guy like Calvin Johnson, who had just a stellar year last year, take the cover. I mean, it's almost. I mean, there was more hoop. There was more buildup of this than, dare I say, than some of the MVP stuff that goes on in some sports. This has kind of become its own huge event and its own huge part of the NFL season now. Obviously, the draft is tomorrow. If you're listening to this, it's probably tonight. Or we're knee deep into it. And so this is, you know, Madden has become almost, I don't want to say critical, but it's become a really important part of the overall NFL experience.
Right.
And a lot of us remember the actual NFL games that were the 2K games, right?
The 2K5.
They were great. They were fun games. And then
I still have my 2K5.
I have 2K5 sitting over there.
You know what? Right, just to kind of get off the subject for a hot second. One of the best leagues we ever did on my site was we did an all pro football 2K8 league.
Ooh, nice.
Like we held like the draft on our forums and like we actually got through a couple seasons of that. That was actually one of our better leagues.
Awesome.
All pro. You could change the character names in that, right?
No, you can edit the uniforms, and they had some legends, but it was cool because guys built their teams with different legends. So, unless if you had Earl Campbell, that guy was a beast.
Well, there's been a lot of talk these last few days about this Madden curse, and especially all the fan voting,
right?
The way that. So I've heard a lot of arguments either way. Is there an actual curse? No,
no.
There's no such thing as an actual curse.
There's
bad luck. There's circumstances or situations that come up out of control. But
there's good luck. There's bad luck, and there's Andrew Luck.
There's good luck.
Sorry,
that was
my one NFL draft joke. Yeah. I was waiting. I'm saving that one for this talk. No, I mean there is no curse. Because anytime I talk to people that just want to argue that there is a Madden curse, I bring up players. I say, okay, then like what about Drew Brees? Like what happened with him? Like, okay, he didn't have a season-ending injury or anything like that. But that's when people start saying, well, you know, and I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry that's very well documented for this. Well, he threw twice as many interceptions that next season, or his quarterback rating dropped, or they lost to the 7-9 Seahawks in the playoffs. Like that's not part of the curse. At that point, basically, if Calvin Johnson doesn't have the same year or better than he did this year, someone is gonna point to the Madden curse and say that's why. And that's just ludicrous. You know, I mean, it just is kind of outlandish, the justifications people have for it. I mean, Brett Favre's, you know, Madden 09 cover was after he retired. So it was like that was the career cover. And then he decided to unretire, become a Jet, good season with them. And then people said, well, that's the cover. Or you could say Michael Vick. Well, no, actually, no. Michael Vick broke his leg or something, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
That's right. And then it was the dogfighting thing after that. But I mean, there are a lot of people that it's just, you know, I don't know. Ray Lewis in 05 had a wrist injury in week 15. and it was his first season without an interception. That's the most. That's the dumbest thing. That's a curse.
Yeah. Wow.
That is the dumbest thing. So and, I don't know. I guess I remember. I don't know if it was Owen Good at Kotaku. He does a lot of really good sports feature stuff over at them. You should definitely check out some of his column stuff. I think it was him that it might have been him, and I hate to misattribute this to him, but I thought it was something he had wrote that. It was something like 50% of the Madden covers, and this might have been a couple years ago, are could even be justifying as being legit. I mean, that's just not a good enough statistic to me to say that it's a real legitimate thing, you know? Maybe that's just me.
Well, no, you're correct, because even with Breeze, I'm looking at his stats now. So he threw 22 interceptions that one year, but he threw for more yards than the previous year. In 2009, he threw for 34 touchdowns. In 2010, he threw for 33 touchdowns. And yeah, he had 22 picks, but his quarterback rating was still 90.9. Now, living in Detroit, a 90 point, those kind of stats aren't necessarily a bad thing around these parts. Maybe from now on, though, since, you know, we have Stafford. But you know, I went a little bit further into this, or maybe not quite as deep. But so, like, I pulled up the Elite Eight from last season because they had this contest last year.
Okay,
so,
fantastic.
So the players in the Elite Eight last year, now this is from ProFootballTalk.com, is so the Elite Eight last year was Aaron Rodgers, Danny Woodhead, Jamal Charles, Peyton Hillis, Drew Brees, Adrian Peterson, Michael Vick, and Patrick Willis. Now, I happen to have their stats handy. Now, Aaron Rodgers had a great year, but he didn't win. But the other, you know, finalists, the Elite Eight or whatever. So if we go to Danny Woodhead, he had a worse year this past season than he did the year before, and he wasn't on cover. Jamal Charles, he had
the season-ending injury.
Yeah, he played in two games this past year, and he wasn't on the cover. Peyton Hillis, we know, didn't really play, and he had a terrible year. Drew Brees set records this year, but he wasn't on the cover. Adrian Peterson played a grand total of 12 games this past season. Only didn't even reach. It was the worst season of his career,
right?
And he wasn't on the cover. Michael Vick, you know what? Speaking of Vick, he's only played 16 games once in his career, and that was in 2006.
That's always something to think about if you ever think of getting him in fantasy football.
Yep.
Right. He can never finish.
In fact, he's not going to be there for you sometimes.
Right. And then there's Patrick Willis, and Patrick Willis only played in 13 games this past season. So, right. I mean, that's just the NFL. People get banged. Yes. I mean, they get banged up a little bit. They get hurt. I mean, you can't blame it on a video game cover.
Well, you also have to think about the fact that there was a lockout before this last season. Mm-hmm. And especially running backs have a tough time with a lockout because then if you're not consistent with that training, you see a lot more hamstring injuries. And that's what Peyton Hillis had. He missed five games. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Because wasn't it Michael LeSure
and then Best Scott?
Are you LePositive? Yes, I'm LeSure.
We're LeSure.
But we're LeSure. But but Peyton Hillis had a hamstring injury and he missed five games with that. And then he had a flu or something like it was like a flu or it was strep throat or something.
And then there's the contract thing and, whatever.
It's just there's so many reasons why these guys, you know, why they aren't going to do as well. And it's interesting you bring up some of them because I think the cover vote was new last year.
Yeah.
And then we had a lot more votes that were people trying to sort of game it for fun. So the Danny Woodhead and even Peyton Hillis making it all the way to the end, that was the proof that Cleveland's fan base were all over that. They were all about getting those votes in. And the vote is legit. I've heard that EA Sports, they don't mess with that. It is a legit voting process.
Yeah, because don't you think if they would mess with it, they wouldn't have Peyton Hillis on? I mean, seriously, like Peyton Hillis is not like some dude that's going
to
sell games.
Right, but he still had a good story. I mean, he was underappreciated with the Broncos before he came to the Browns. But and
so was Jamal Charles.
Yeah, of course, right? But, I mean, he would have made a great story too. But, it's, you know, I remember last year with Fourth String, with our podcast stuff, we had such a riot with this because we were trying to get Danny Woodhead and Peyton Hillis to go far. We called him the Avalanche for Peyton Hillis. And it's just like it was a blast. And so it's great to see that. But I think, you know, seeing Calvin Johnson on the cover, I think makes sense. You know, you point to him and say that guy right there is, you know, in the top three of wide receivers in the league easily. You can only argue one or two guys being better than him. I would still put him at number one, but it would be like a close 1-2 with him and Larry Fitzgerald. You know, as far as
Larry Fitzgerald that was on the cover two seasons ago, right, that played all 16 games and had a great year.
Yeah, I mean, it's just because, you know, I think the reason Larry can't get on the cover again is because people don't want to see him repeat. But I mean, as far as actual players in the NFL goes, you know, it makes perfect sense to have Calvin Johnson on the cover. And I feel like this voting process went a little bit more honest than maybe last year's did. You know, maybe that's just me, but I really do think that it wasn't, you know, I don't think.
I totally agree. Because even in the round where Calvin was against, like, Arian, I was joking around on Twitter and being like, oh, vote for Arian Foster. But come on. Really? You're going to.
I think the reason why Rodgers didn't make it further, you know, and I don't know. I think sports culture itself is very superstitious. I know that people here in Wisconsin are very superstitious with sports. So there are probably going to be people that tried to vote against him because they didn't want to see him on the cover for fear of the Madden curse. Right.
Yeah, I read that.
But I do honestly think, though, that he's become a guy that people are looking at him and saying he's going to be around for a couple of years. He'll get his shot down the line, you know, and you start seeing that with different players, you know. And I think Calvin Johnson, you probably could make a case for him years down the road. He'll probably still be good. But with the year he had, it made perfect sense for him to get the cover. It's exciting for him. You know, I'm happy to see that.
And I'll point out, though, that he's had a bad back for the last couple of seasons. Yeah. He always has a back injury. That's so if this season his back bothers them, they're going to be like, oh, the Madden curse. It's like,
as if that didn't exist before.
Right. Exactly. I think just people want to, you know, they tend to gloss over the years that that like nothing really happened, or they cite the Ray Lewis like getting hurt like one of the last games of the season as if it's some curse. And then I read that on the Wikipedia, it was like this past season or something that you know, the Ravens lost they lost in like one of the last plays in overtime or something like that.
Oh yeah, that's because Ray Rice was on the
Ray Rice, yeah,
NFL
right.
Blitz.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, they lost in overtime on a field goal.
Yes, Billy Cundiff is the reason that Ray Rice was cursed for. Wait, I don't even know how that translates because NFL Blitz was a digital download, which is redundant. But there's no curse, guys.
There's no curse. And one of the things you guys mentioned earlier, this is sports. These are athletes. The NFL is more hard hitting now than ever. The chances that you're going to play every single game in a season are very, very low.
It's not very good.
Calvin Johnson, out of the 5 years, I'm looking at his stats right now. He's been in the league 5 years. He's only played a full season twice. He's missed one or two games every year. So chances are that, you know, he could very well miss one or two games this year. You know, he had a couple 15 game seasons, a couple six, you know, one 14 game season. So there's a good chance that he might have to take get an injury. He might have an injury or something this year. And with the amazing stats that he put up last year, it is very hard to repeat, massive years like that in the NFL. I mean, unless you're in a system like New Orleans or, back when Denver had the chop block running backs.
Right.
It's very difficult to repeat those types of wild stat, basically video game numbers. So you're going to have one good year. It's going to be hard to get a second year in a row. So people instantly say, oh, there's some curse that you're not having as good of a year this year as you did last year, or your team got bounced out of the first round of the playoffs or didn't make the playoffs. Well, we know that as kind of diehard sports fans and people who know what gaming is all about, what marketing is all about.
Right.
At the same time, the media really loves to glorify this this idea of a curse because it adds this whole other layer to the onion.
Yeah,
about
it can
this.
Be fun. It can be fun to really look at it that way.
It is, and it adds this whole layer to for them, for instance, there was a yesterday on local radio here in Detroit. The discussion ran on for damn near 2 hours of the sports talk show of a 4-hour show. Talking about the Madden curse because everybody was calling in,
right?
Talking about it, chatting about it, and people were having a great time to talk about it because they know deep down in our heart of hearts, there's no such thing as a curse. But at the same time, they wonder.
It's fun to believe.
It's fun to believe. And I think that's what drives people to say that there is a curse. And to use it as an excuse, I think the reason that it got so big was because it just became an excuse for people having, mm-hmm. you know, not living up to the previous year, which is really the only reason that that there's such a thing. But
I honestly hope I want people to still believe in it.
Yeah.
Only because that way I might be able to snag Calvin Johnson in the second round of a fantasy football draft, because
that
he's one of the only
guys
that I would call him the only receiver that you want to take with a first over mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. a first round fantasy football draft pick, because you know otherwise you're usually focusing on running backs, which the league is changing now. You might want to look at your top quarterbacks. If you're not taking Aaron Rodgers first overall, you're kind of like you're nuts. You could even make a case for Cam Newton in the first round too. I mean, you could look at a couple of those top quarterbacks, but you never take a wide receiver unless you don't know what you're doing or unless it's Calvin Johnson. Well, now I'm just hoping
the scoring your league too.
Well, that's true. Yeah. I mean, if is it PPR or whatever that stuff is, but I mean, if I can convince the people I'm in a league with, hey, the Madden curse, he's going to be hurt like week three. Maybe I can snag him with like, if I have a top second round pick, I might be able to get him. And that's where I'm excited. So hopefully
I think that I'm going to have to go ahead and start that. We do an annual fantasy football league on side questing. And
yes,
Mike, you were bounced out pretty early last year.
It was tough to stay with it, but I also just got screwed on some of my picks. That might've been one of the leagues I had Jamal Charles, but I had a couple guys that got
I think hurt. You and I we'll play it, play to the, Calvin Johnson will be injured meme
right,
this year
yeah.
if we try.
Yeah, trust me. We're at
this episode of podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there totally is a Madden curse. Totally.
Yeah.
There's totally a Madden curse.
Dude, just look at the history.
I believe it.
Look at,
I mean, I think that Calvin Johnson is doomed. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I mean, hey, he's had back problems. Mm-hmm. And clearly the Madden curse makes that worse.
Yep.
When you're carrying the weight of a video game cover on your back, he put the cover on his back.
It's only a matter of time between the Lions revert back to the same old Lions.
Yes.
Exactly, right? You guys are going to go right back into that rebuilding period.
Well, as Craig and I know, the Lions actually are cursed.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. Yes, they are cursed. They're totally
not
cursed.
like the Cubs are cursed. That's a whole
different. The whole goat thing.
That's a curse I believe in. It's the Cubs.
That's what I can get behind.
Right.
But again, you look at what Madden has done for sports games. Madden is essentially in the U.S. at least. It's the game that really epitomizes. Like hardcore sports game fanaticism. And that spilled over into games like FIFA, even NHL, NBA 2K. Those games have all, thanks to some of the things that Madden has done over the years, those games have evolved into kind of their own monstrous fandoms. You guys working at, working at and with sports game sites have seen a lot of this big turnover over the last few years, especially. With technologies changing, with this generation, I think out of any of the gaming generations beforehand, this one saw sports games, I think, develop faster among the different genres and so on than ever before, to the point where they're kind of these almost celebrated cultural events. Like we did talk about Madden right now. People line up, they take the day off whenever a new Madden game is it launching.
Oh yeah.
FIFA, the same thing. Overseas FIFA games are just, they're massive and they sell year round. Mm-hmm. I think the sports game market, especially with technologies like stuff that the Wii U is bringing, portable games, you look at mobile gaming and Kinect, Move, motion gaming, things like that. Sports games right now are going through this, in one hand, they're going through this really kind of cool, simulation level where things are getting so precise. It's down to mechanics now. It's down to kind of fine-tuning the perfect formula for each of these genres. And at the same time, you have NBA Baller Beats.
They're accessible. That game's accessible. That's why.
Which opens up sports games to a completely different different market. So the other big thing I wanted to get you guys on the site was to kind of talk to that and you guys have been involved in this stuff a lot deeper than I ever have, and I'm sure anybody else on that works for SideQuesting has. So I'm kind of interested to get your opinion on how all of this is kind of developing, where you see it at right now, where it's going.
I think kind of what you were speaking to just now, I mean, the Madden phenomenon is a really, really interesting thing to look at, because, I mean, part of the reason why the Madden cover vote, I mean, and the fact that they've turned it into a vote and had it be as successful as they have is one thing is in itself. But, I mean, Madden continues to be one of the only series that that is held with a, you know, kind of taped together with an exclusive license. EA Sports having the sole right to make the NFL games on major consoles and stuff is really, I mean, that's has a lot to do with the fact that it's become a big thing. I mean, if you have the cover of the only NFL game, you know, that's it. You know, I mean, there are other MLB games out there. There's MLB, the 2K series, there's the show. I mean, and even if it just being two things, you know, there's Verlander on one cover, there's Joe Mauer on the other. I mean, that's part of where I think that notoriety plays in with just the Madden cover alone and the sort of, I mean, the NFL in it is at its height of popularity. It only seems to get more popular. It feels like it's growing all the time. And it's crazy. You know, you turn on ESPN and it almost seems like they are finding a reason to talk about NFL stuff because it's just that big and it's just that addicting for fans. So, you know, we're at a weird time with sports games too, because like you're saying, they have grown in interesting ways. You know, a couple of years ago, we had the big boom in suddenly seeing MMA stuff with the first UFC game coming out, and not only coming out, but you know, remember when UFC 2009 came out? That was a big game. It impressed a lot of people, and for good reason. You know, and that series has done well, but that unfortunately they tried at first to make that an annual thing, and then now taking 2 years off and making UFC 3. The sales just are not supporting it very well at all, which doesn't help for THQ's woes. But it's a fantastic game, and it's just good to see some of that. And, you know, EA Sports trying to do a bit of that too. But what happened there? Of course, they can't support that because then Strikeforce gets bought out by UFC, and there's nothing to support making a game in that series. And of course, like Fight Night continues to happen. So you have like a good variety. We had SSX come back this year. So, I mean, when you look at the sort of this broad spectrum of sports games and knowing that, you know, after the failures of Tony Hawk Ride, we're going to get the HD remake. I feel like we're going to start seeing a bit more. Hopefully, I'd like to think this, you know, we'll see hopefully a bit more of those extreme sports games coming back around. And they're probably going to be fewer and further between. But I think that would be a good thing to help liven this up. But I can't help but feel like we're getting to a point now where we're seeing some of the best in each of these sports. You know, like if you look at a basketball game and say, what's the best basketball game ever made? It's so easy for us to have nostalgia and go back and say like, well, first NBA Jam, it's my favorite. Like, of course, you know, but NBA 2K12 is fantastic. And when you're talking about soccer games, FIFA 12 might be one of the best in its series, you know? So, you know, Madden's kind of getting there, but for it being as popular as it is, I think it can kind of stand up on not having that competition to keep it pushing along, which it's kind of had to deal with for a couple of years. But
are we getting to a point, though, where these games have they've kind of tweaked enough where they're any further tweaks are going to be so minor that
yes, totally.
Well, kind of. Well, I don't know. Updates. Today there was a live stream that the EA Sports team, Tiburon, did for the Madden 13 stuff. I don't know if you guys saw any of that, but they talked about some of the updates that they're doing. And if you play a lot of Madden like I do, you recognize the fact that linebackers jump way too high in the air to swat balls down. You can't throw a nice, perfect pass over a linebacker and into a nice pocket and, you know, further down the field. Like, that doesn't exist in this game. So, you know, they talk about adding things like 20 passing trajectories. So that way things are feel more authentic. Or the fact that when you do a play action, you can actually pull the trigger to get out of that play action animation, not be stuck in it so that you get sacked right away. Or they have different dropbacks for quarterbacks that will happen depending on the player calling. So like if you have a quick slant, your quarterback will do a three-step drop, or if you're in like a shotgun deep pass formation, you'll do like, or not shotgun, but if you're doing like a deep pass, you'll do like a seven-step drop or a one-step for like a screen, things that make a bit more sense. But generally speaking, yeah, like the core gameplay for some of these things, we're getting to a point where we're kind of plateauing, you know?
Well,
that's just me, but.
But going back to some of your points or some of those gameplay improvements, like for instance, you know, the NCAA, one of the big things is like, oh, you can abort a play action pass. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's like one of the big things this year. However, that was already in the Xbox version of the game. It was in one of the later versions of the Xbox version of the game. I remember going to one of the community events at Tiburon, and it was like one of the first next gen 360 ones. I don't know if it was like 07 or 08. I don't remember. But and I remember being there, and we're all playing on the 360 versions. And the guys from, at the time, NCAA Strategies, or now it's like the Gaming Tailgate, they were like really going to town on this, still like the original Xbox version of the game. And right. that game had that feature already in it. So I think some of these features that we get fed are more about marketing, like, oh, look at this feature we just added in. Like, you now you can abort like play action passes. It's like, well, but it was already in one of your earlier versions of the game that's now finally made it like 5 years later to the 360 version. And, you know, the ball trajectory is an interesting one. One of my issues with EA in general, outside of like the NHL series, and this goes to their basketball games, are the ball physics in general, even in their basketball games and their football games, to where there was never ever like any air under the ball, and you couldn't put any touch passes when you play football or when you play their basketball games. You didn't get the same kind of bounces or
except for maybe kind of FIFA arcs. I feel like,
well, yeah, FIFA, no, they did a good job with FIFA yeah. as well, which is weird because FIFA's made at EA Canada,
right,
where the NBA series is.
None of that makes sense, right? I mean, it just doesn't.
So but now they're touting like, oh, we have like 20 new ball trajectories, but which I don't really know if that's actually something major, because like I like the ball trajectories in the 2K like basketball games, like even the college hoops games and the NBA games. I just don't know how many different ball trajectories there are in that, so I don't have anything to compare it to.
Well, but I'm just saying that those are the things that at least they're pointing to now as saying they are updating some gameplay things, right?
Because well, they do that every year, though.
Thing, yeah. They do, and they kind of have to in order to really fill out those bullet points on the back of the box, right? I mean, they have to say they're doing something. Last year it was like, oh, we added over 100 tackle animations. How many do you actually see when you're playing the game? You don't see all those 100 tackle animations.
Right.
Some of
them
are really specific instances that you're never going to see if you play the game the same way you always do, you know?
Right, and I don't put that on like the game does, like now they're called designers rather than producers now. I don't really put that on them, because from what I've found and like from what I kind of gathered from going to these events, where these guys that like are like the producers, the guys that are always making these blogs, there is like totally into the games as like any other sports game, where they want to see like the most realistic thing.
Oh, they do. Absolutely.
I just sometimes think that they're in some ways are handcuffed, not handcuffed, but like they can't do everything all the time, to where like they have certain limitations, because these games got to come out every year.
And, exactly.
And I think that as far as sports games go, we're kind of in a bad spot in some ways, because there's no college basketball game. We have these exclusive licenses. There's only one company making football games. Depending on what kind of system you have, like I only have a 360, so I can't play MLB The Show. And so some of these games, especially the college games, I think the budget, I think it takes so much more money now. The budgets are so big to make these games from year to year that I think like the 2Ks and the EAs are like, you know what? It doesn't make any sense for us to spend all this money on making a college basketball game, because it doesn't sell. We can't get a return on our investment, because the current technology is so advanced that they gotta just, I mean, they're like movies they gotta make, and people just aren't buying the game. So
do you remember when the very first Xbox 360 Madden was released?
Yes.
It was very different from the PS2 game that everybody was playing, right? It had Obviously, the visual upgrade is one thing, but
it was stripped down.
It was very stripped down. Madden wasn't in it, apart from visuals. Like he did no voiceover. That was still only on the PS2 version. And so it seemed like every game has been kind of building off of that original stripped down Madden game. I mean, yeah, they're very competent games right now, but it seemed like it got to a point where it got away from being a whole new, fresh Madden experience to an iterative one, which for sports games, because they are an annual, it's a seasonal event, you're tied to getting a new game out each year. So unless you have two teams or three teams working on Madden games, you're only going to get this kind of evolutionary iterative game. And so it's going to be smaller improvements year after year. And there's a small, maybe growing vocal outcry or vocal group that says, you know what, just give us a roster, you know, a nice chunky roster update this year. We'll pay $20-$30. But get us like a really nice new Madden next year or the year after. To me as a consumer and someone who doesn't buy Madden every year, just because of that reason, I don't want new menus as a bullet point.
FIFA could use that, but yeah,
20 new ball trajectories. That's not a bullet point to me. It more realistic ball bounces. That doesn't do anything for me as a fan of just playing the game, as a fan of just going out and having fun, than someone who's maybe really hardcore into Madden to purchase it. And I'd love to see kind of a really new, innovative Madden game, and that's why as new consoles come out, I tend to buy that first Madden that's released for like the 3DS or the Wii or the the first Xbox game, because it is very different than that previous generation's Madden. It's a unique experience, whether it's better or worse, who knows? But it's different enough where you start to think, okay, if you put effort into it with a different team or whatever, you can come up with a new Madden experience. But then it's usually right after that first game, they go right back into the iterating off of that first game, except maybe on the Wii where things were really kind of out there with some of the stuff they kept trying to pull with the EA Play, the Madden Play stuff. But I just as kind of a more traditional gaming fan, I'm not turned on by small tweaks
the gameplay side of it, though.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the bullet points you are going to care about are the things that they are still working. I mean, like last year's Madden introduced a more refined offline franchise mode. You know, so if you were into the idea of playing something that had more of a, you know, having a dynasty team, you know, that was an improvement that they made to a certain extent that people did have fun with, you know, and like this year's game, you know, having online franchise improvements is going to be really big for people like myself that play in an online league. And that's something that, you know, there's it's the addition most because, yeah, I mean, if you're the hardcore, you know, Madden player, or whether it's Madden or FIFA or anything, you know, you are going to be interested in knowing that they've made changes and updates to the gameplay stuff that nags at you. But the majority of people aren't going to care too much about that. And that's where, you know, that's the direction that we're heading in with sports games, is what can we do as far as different modes and things that will keep people interested. That I think is the thing to really think about, because when we're living in a time where a game like Fight Night Champion exists that gave us a story mode. And it wasn't just the normal thing that we see in these kinds of games where you create a guy, like in UFC, you create a guy, you do these two training regimens, you have a fight, you go back and do that, you level up stats, whatever. You have Fight Night Champion that actually has a story mode. Like that's a story. They gave you something that's actually interesting, you know, like there's actually characters involved. There's actually voice work involved. I mean, we should have more of that. And I'd like to think we'll get to a point where we do see, you know, the Friday Night Lights the game, like, you know, like something along those lines where, you know, really every year's Madden should be giving us, a story along with it every year. We should have something new that we can kind of grasp onto, you know, but instead we really are seeing updates to current styled modes like the create a player or things like that. And that's where I think the people that say, I'd rather just have like a $20, you know, smaller update every year and then maybe focus every couple of years on making a big new game. That's where they've got it right, because unless they're actually giving us something that does feel legitimately new, why are we spending this money on it? You know, I mean, you do have the right to say that that doesn't feel right to you. I kind of support that, but I do feel like, if anything, I'd love to think we're getting in that direction where, you know, a Pro Evolution Soccer or something will give us like, what is it, Invictus was that movie? I can't remember.
Yeah.
What is that, rugby? I don't know rugby. My things. I don't know my stuff, but like, yeah.
It's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, exactly. Just, can I just get Morgan Freeman in a sports game, please?
Oh, God, yeah.
Can he just voice over like the
He drops trial? Back for the pass.
Right. And Charlie Conway went behind the goal and said, flying V.
And said, flying V, but the sun, that bright sun was in his eye, and he dropped the pass.
The pass.
But, you know, I kind of see both sides of, like, some of the hardcore players want, like, that pass trajectory to be true, because I do. But, you know, one thing I found that EA's been lacking, and it's pretty funny that I say this nowadays, is I don't really ever feel that like I am in the like immersed in the game. Like a few years ago, I'd be like, I don't care if you have a crowd like in the game, as long as the game plays tight, I don't care about anything else. Well, nowadays I'm like, you know what? Like when I pop in NBA 2K12, the stadium, like you come in the arena and like the music's pumping and like the crowd's loud and like everything's totally sweet. Like it's like, it's a primetime game and like, it's awesome. But like the EA games, even NCAA and like they just, I just don't feel like I'm like in the game. And and even going as far back as NFL 2K5 from 2K Sports, I don't even think EA's even touched that in regards to presentation, which is, now it's still, even if you go back, it's still a little primitive now. And I'm not even talking about the halftime show, but like the stat overlays and just like the conversation between the announcers and
what with which series?
NFL 2K5.
Like
even from way back then, I can still pop that in and be like, man, like look at all these overlays and they talk about the players in between plays.
I think they're getting there. I mean, they did have some changes last year. I mean,
they did it. But it's not quite there. And
it's not there yet. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And this is how many years later. And still the football game that I play more every year is still NCAA, because with Madden, it's still a little too easy to like pimp your team out every season.
It is
with trades and free agents, where in NCAA, you're stuck with your team. I mean, if you can't get your recruits, then you're stuck with what you got for like the season. So, like one of my favorite series in NCAA, that I went the farthest in was 2008, even though technically gameplay wise wasn't the best. But I remember like there was a season to where like I couldn't like get any good offensive line recruits, and I had a bunch of freshmen, and then like I just had to play all season with like this really shoddy offensive line at Kentucky and just had to battle my way through the season. But with Madden, it's like you can just sign free agents and they play out of their minds all the time. And, you know, as long as you have like your skill position players are great, then you can just kind of get out of anything. Mm-hmm. So like I do appreciate some of these smaller upgrades. I just don't know. And I don't have an answer. If I did, I wouldn't be sitting here right now, I don't think. I think with some of the sports titles, there needs to be a different way. I don't think this releasing this new game every year can stick for that much longer. I think, you know, there needs to be a new process.
So there's been a lot spoken to the a lot of rumors about the next generation of consoles being anti-used game, right? So you're going to be buying or downloading the new game each year. Maybe this is to the advantage of people who like would rather just see more of a content update than a full new release. Obviously, one of the killers of popularity or sales, I guess you could say, of sports games was up until really recently was the people purchasing the previous year's games because they were so close, they were so similar. You could have no problem buying Madden 10 if Madden 11 just came out. Just buy Madden 10 used, and you'd have a lot of the same game. Maybe just enough change for the hardcore fans to notice, but for the average fan, you know, that may be enough. So maybe this idea of going more digital downloads. So maybe it'll become more of an update to Madden 2014 or 2015 rather than a whole new game.
I don't know if that would work. I really don't think it would. I mean, when you think about it, what happens if you have a digital marketplace where, you know, Madden 13, 14, and 15 all exist and they're priced differently and everybody buys the old version? Well, they want you to buy the newest one, so they can't support the servers for playing online, let's say, for the older versions. There's an uproar over that. And they decide, well, you know, everything's digital now, so we can't get you to go to the store to buy the new copy or to trade in and get the new copy. So we're not going to update the rosters for the old version. Or, you know, they'll say, well, we've improved franchise mode and this and that for this latest update, but we need you to pay for this update. Exactly. How would consumers feel if they had to pay for updates to games? And to them, it's we improved, you know, offline franchise, online franchise modes, you know, player dynasty stuff. Like, we've improved these things. I mean, basically, then people are going to feel like they're paying for improvements. And it's so weird because the precedent's aren't even set in the way games are created and updated today, that those things are given to us. Like, we don't pay for, you know, updates to games. Patches come in and they roll in if teams stay with it, you know?
I tend to think it, for the most part, yes. If you had, if you get Darksiders 2 downloaded to your console and they release a bunch of updates for it, that's one thing. But, I think for sports games, it's a bit of a different issue. It doesn't. I think in that case, I could see you know, EA having Madden 13, 14, and 15 all in, you know, Xbox Live Marketplace. You buy Madden 13, we'll still support online play, but in order to get the you're only gonna play against people who play Madden 13. But in order to get the roster update and some of the tweaks that we made in 14. Instead of buying the whole new game, you would just buy this portion of the update. How software works. I think people will be much more open in that respect to say, hey, you know what? I have Madden 13 already downloaded. I'm going to update to 14. I'm not ready for 15 yet because I don't like the changes that they made to it. But maybe down the line when I get the $20 to update it, I'll do that. So
sure. I'm saying, though, that, you know, it's going to be tough for EA Sports, for instance, to justify doing that, because if they can't make money doing it, that's kind of the problem. You know, you can't make games anymore if you can't make the money on your games. I don't know.
Or they look towards the behemoth of online gaming, which is World of Warcraft. Say, you know, you pay $6 a month, we'll just keep on feeding you as many updates as you can handle. And then when you look at a year per year, let's say that's $6 a month, that's still more than they get per game.
Are there
every year, you know what I mean?
So are there any MMO sports games out there?
No.
They've tried. They don't really work very well, I don't think, though. There's one.
What's it called? Am I thinking of like that Blood Bowl thing or whatever it's called?
No,
it's something else.
There's a football sim. Mm. I had a guy that I created for the longest time.
Yeah.
It was like a football sim that like you could pay to like upgrade your guy faster. Okay, that was like the closest thing to it. I wish I could remember it right now.
Right.
Well, I mean, I know what you're talking about. I could totally see, Madden Online, where you get
Goal Line Blitz was the name. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, geez, yeah, that, I remember that.
I could see you getting a here's the game. We update it with the the patches and tweaks that we need to keep it up to date. Mm-hmm. If you really want, I know you have Calvin Johnson on your team. If you really want to pick up the guy that the Lions drafted, you're going to have to pay for him. You're going to have to pay that extra buck. You can still stay with the 2012 Lions.
You think consumers would be okay with that? do you think enough people would pay for it in the same way that people buy the new Madden every year?
I think they would complain at first, and then eventually.
You think people would get behind it still?
Oh. It really depends on what kind of content people, you know, that EA or whoever could deliver.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
You could say, hey, you know what? You're going to get the roster updates every year, but we're going to give you new training facilities if you want to pay for that, or if you want to pay for, you know, and I mean, there could be the subscription based or the kind of the free to play method where, hey, you know what? We're going to sell you a new stadium or improvements to your own stadium so that you can have, in our case, Ford Field, but now you have a giant, you know, you have hovercrafts inside Ford Field, or you have you have farms in the background, you know. But there could be that level where instead of you know, making those updates minor, maybe this is the point where people say, "Hey, we're really gonna let you customize your gaming experience so that you know, you can really enjoy." So that there's more to these sports games beyond just what's going on in the field. Maybe there's the stuff that's going on outside of the actual game, stuff in the periphery. Maybe there's storylines. Maybe there's, you know, maybe there's actual concessions. There's fights in the stands that happen, and you have to take care of those.
Or you actually, they already tried the
stadium manager.
Stadium upgrades in Madden, like on the Xbox.
I do have
you can
to
set
say,
the concession prices and stuff.
It's only sort of tangentially related, but I mean, I do appreciate the fact that I can go into PSN and buy basically segments of Fight Night Champion. So, I mean, I paid like $5 or $6 to get the story mode, and I'm so happy with that purchase. And that was how long after the game first came out. I mean, I'd love to see more games maybe attempt to do something like that,
sure.
You know, and maybe I'm alone in being sort of obsessed with the idea of having story modes for these sort of sports games, but I think that would help be more of an incentive for them to, for these, you know, developers to release games in bits after some amount of time, you know, and not just say, here's the whole game that you can download. But, you know, I think that's the thing is like, you know, EA Sports is really focusing on trying to get people to pay for all of these little things. So that's why you see Tiger Woods just riddled with all these different, you know, you can buy all these courses and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And Madden Ultimate Team is constantly a big thing, and FIFA Ultimate Team, you know, in buying card packs and stuff like that. They're trying to figure out ways they can still make money on their games. And that's why I almost worry that it wouldn't work out the way we would hope it would if it went all digital. I would love for it to, because I love the idea of just having a hard drive and I could just download everything. I would be so afraid for myself because I'd buy way too many games, but I don't know. I mean, I think just based on the way the business is done now, I'm not sure if it would work. I'd like to think that that could be a future though. They just have to change the way they monetize their games, you know?
What, so let's kind of close off the conversation or the end, cap off the conversation. We'll leave our clothes on, I should say. We'll cap off the conversation with what you guys would like to see in the future of sports games. And we touched on it a little bit here with how some of the content is delivered, but what would you guys like to see in, you know, future sports games, like beyond this generation, you know, whether it's technology wise or AI or, you know, delivery of the game?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I do think they're getting close.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, as far as story modes and stuff, that's not really my thing. I just want to be able to take control. Like for football, I would like a blend between like the NFL head coach series and Madden. Mm-hmm. Like I want to be able to have that kind of control for like my NFL team. As far as gameplay goes, I mean, they can keep on making the tweaks. I mean, they're getting there. Now, I didn't really like the last version of Madden. I thought the momentum was kind of jacked up and or lack thereof. And I really didn't play it all that much. I thought NCAA was a better game the last two seasons. But in the grand scheme of things, though, they're getting really advanced and they're getting really smart and the games are getting really good. So it's just kind of just button it all up together. And just keep on working to find that happy medium between making the game still fun, but still like technical and complete. Where, you know, where Madden the gameplay is getting well, but like the overall experience in the stadium and just like the immersion factor isn't quite there yet. And on the flip side, even with the NBA 2K, the immersion's there, but the game is just technical and it's not as fun,
right,
for some of us. So, I mean, they're getting close. I just think they're just kind of missing. They just haven't put it all together yet, but they're getting there. So, but at that point, once they get it together, which again, they're close. Where do we go from there? I couldn't tell you. I just like every genre of game has that one game. Like you look to a baseball game and everyone looks at, oh, MVP 2005 was the baseball game.
Yeah.
Football, everyone looks to like NFL 2K5 and even hockey. Right. EA did a great job with that. What was it? NHL 2008, NHL 08 that came out, or NHL 09. Yeah. That was an awesome hockey game. And that was the Xbox 360. And college basketball, I mean, the last game was College Hoops 2K8, and that was like pretty much like the gold standard. They stopped making it after that. So there's still going to be the, I think, that like signature game. It's just a matter of when. Football's due again, I think. I just don't really have a good answer for that. I mean, there's just putting it all together and, you know, making it complete, which, again, they're close.
I think for me, I mean, I keep pounding away at the story mode thing. I think for me, you know, that's always been kind of part of it. I'd just like to see more games break the trend of current, like, my player and kind of single player modes, you know, of just leveling up your created guys or whatever, you know, like that. It just feels like I've gotten very tired of that, because you go across all these different sports games and they all generally do it the same. But I think if there's another thing that I really had to say, I want to see more games do, it's really expand into the online play space in more interesting ways, especially with created leagues and stuff. I mean, I absolutely love being in a Madden league. I mean, and we get really just fun and intense about it. People are doing write-ups every week. When we're at our finest, people are doing write-ups, photoshopping hilarious images, putting together, you know, highlight reels. We have multiple Twitter accounts and all this stuff. I mean, I want to see more games that better support the communities that you can build out of these games.
And, yeah, I can agree with that.
I mean, and it's not just, you know, like last year's Madden, or this year technically, like they have the online communities thing, but it was a cool idea that just isn't executed well enough and isn't interesting enough, and you're not getting enough people to really in there to play. I want to see more of that great community stuff that can come along with that. And whether it is league play or not, you know, something like that. I mean, UFC 3 would be great for that, except for some odd reason, if you create a fight camp in there, they cap it at 16 people. I went to check our four string one not that long ago, and we had over 100 people that were trying to get into it. And I had to turn them all down because they say you can only have up to 16 people fighting in this. And I don't get why you can't just create better community based things for playing sports games with each other. So I'd like to see that get a better improvement. And, you know, that'll only improve as things like Xbox Live improves and they give us more people that we can be friends with and stuff like that. You know?
But again, they're getting close, because
they're getting close. They're getting like so close.
The NCAA online franchise, they have the nice web interface where you can write stories. And
yeah.
Like,
they finally,
you know, like they're, like I said, they're just getting close. They're, sure, they're getting there. It's just being able to put it all into like one nice package, I think.
Right. I mean, if you can use something like My League Manager, you know, or like the Dynasty League kind of guys do.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah. And overlay those different interfaces for playing in online leagues, it'll all work out. You know, we make, like, I have Wikipedias that I've made, wikis I've made for stuff like this. I mean, it's like playing, you know, off, it's like you're playing with your buddies in like an old school style, like you know, fantasy baseball or something. You have like all these, it's like you have the whiteboard, except it's all digital. You know, I mean, it's fun to do that sort of thing, but I want to more of that done on the development end. And yeah, like you keep saying, Craig, they're getting so close. It's amazing how close they're getting with some of these things. So yeah, I would love for more of that. Just give me better leagues.
You know, maybe we're at the point now where it's less about the single player experience and now more about the multiplayer online social community experience for these games, much like what is happening with you know, Call of Duty, which we've kind of cited earlier in the show. Multiplayer is really the direction that people want to go in, or a multiplayer-like experience. And so, I mean, that could be a huge step in, you know, just a momentum shift for what people want out of their gameplay experience with everybody being connected. I mean, I'd love to see drop-in, drop-out sports games so that if I'm, I see a, you know, I see Green Bay versus Detroit, and all of a sudden it's, hey, it's available. Someone's in the third quarter of the Thanksgiving Day game. Maybe it's available. I can actually drop in and fix some of the wrongs of this past year's game. But, you know, that could be kind of a fun experience. You know, that could be kind of a cool take on the, you know, a multiplayer.
It's like taking like the NBA Today or those kind of features and taking it one step further to where it's not like just the day's game, but you're watching the game and you're like, you know what? It's halftime. Let me go pop in Madden and see if I can finish. Right. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
It would also just be nice to be able to play online against someone randomly and not feel like you're always going to be screwed, that you'll always get killed. You know, whether they can try and rank people skill wise in a game like that and have it make sense when you're randomly matching up against them. But I mean, you know, there shouldn't be a new Madden game where you are jumping online and someone's nano blitzing you or something along those lines where they're pretty much cheating you. You know, I mean, there should be better functionality in filtering that out.
I don't know. I mean, how would you like to be the one to code that one though? Like, oh, that's a totally different algorithm.
Yeah,
I mean, trying to take two people and try to find their tendencies and be like, you know what? Yeah, these two guys, they'd probably be good. They don't nail them.
But I'm just saying, at least better than what they do now, which is basically nothing, you know?
Well, that goes back to you probably know better than just to pull up the quick game on online and just get paired with
someone. But like, we should be getting to a point where that shouldn't even be a thing, where it's like, oh, well, you should know better than to not use this mode in the game. Like, well, I bought the game, so I'd maybe be able to do that sometime, you know? I mean, we deserve to have some sort of filtering, at least, like easy, medium, hard. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that no matter what, though, that is always, as far as online games go, that is going to be the one constant.
Yeah,
it's
as good as the people playing them. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just no way to there's just no way you can filter that without having to do some work yourself. That's in kind of building your own kind of community and getting to know certain players, and that's just going to take groundwork. And I don't think there's really going to be any kind of coding or anything that could prevent that from happening.
Sure. Of course.
Great. Well, gentlemen, I think we've exhausted our vocal cords for the evening.
I don't think you guys will need to talk about sports games now for the next
400. Yeah, you guys,
we got you covered.
Yeah, I can invite Steven and Eric back on the show now. No, I really want to thank you guys. It's been an awesome conversation. I talk about all kinds of sports game related topics and touching on a bunch of things here and there from the future of sports games to the Madden curse and the, you know, how games like Madden have actually become integral into the NFL to Call of Duty and sports games. So really, again, thank you guys so much for being on. Mike, where can people get a hold of you if they're looking to follow you or see what you're up to?
On Twitter, I'm at Mike Suzek, S-U-S-Z-E-K. One of those letters is silent in there. I've never actually learned which one. I might be saying my own name wrong for all I know. But otherwise, I check out Four String's podcast, the Four String.com's weekly thrill ride. And that is fourstring.com, and find it on iTunes. We're hilarious and vulgar, and you know, don't listen to it with your kids, but but it's fun. So that's that. And moderngameplayer.com if you want to be involved in that, which you should, and talk to me about downloadable content. Do that. Yes. Do that. And one last thing I just want to say. I want to make this perfectly clear. Calvin Johnson will get hurt this year thanks to the Madden curse. So just let me get him. Like, if you happen to be in a fantasy football league with me, let me get him.
Skip him.
I'll take him for you.
Craig, where can people get a hold of you, my good friend?
You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Gonzalez. That's CraigGonzalez. You can pop on over to consolesports.net. Check out some of our articles. You know, you can email me at Craig, CRAIG, at consolesports.net. Dan, I'm around. I'm pretty accessible via the interwebs. So, excellent. And yeah, and also yes, Calvin Johnson. It's not looking good for this year. He's gonna be hurt. You don't want to take him in your fantasy league.
All three of us are so.
Or you know what, Matthew Stafford. He's got a bum out. He's got a bum shoulder as well. Yeah, I'll stay away from him too.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a keeper league with any of you, just leave Robert Griffin III alone. I might consider that.
I'm Dally Domofsky. You can find me on Twitter at Coolrats, KEWLRATS. Of course, you can find me right here on sidequesting.com. And you have been listening to The Side Quest, episode 404.
Error.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
It's fun.
Good
Thanks.
Night. Thank you.
Later.
Disempowered, the scattering flock dances in a fever at the castle rock. Dust devil cypress, the ripening fruit, ascending quick into the author's bathroom. Anjo and Gypsy are out on a wide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'll be surprised. I'll bring some decency to the table for this episode, for the most part. But if I just jab you in the back at any point, like, just this is your warning. Just so you
yeah,
know.
Don't worry. You know what? You have like the worst haircuts on the Packers organization in the entire league.
That's semi true. I have nothing to say to that.
The worst was I saw like AJ Hawk was like mic'd up or something, or they had the camera on him. I saw him on the NFL. All he was concerned about the whole game was whether his hair was wet enough and like how it looked.
Yeah. The guys that have the long hair seem like they always want their hair to be wet. And I don't know if that keeps them cold or like keeps them cool or whatever. Cause that's possible. I don't know. I don't have what long hair, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, actually, no, I'm sorry. It was Clay Matthews. Yeah, he's I don't know, man. He's like, oh, how's my hair?
God, but when he's fierce and running around the field, his long locks flowing behind him, just gets me so pumped.
I'll take Palomalu's locks over him.
I don't know.
I'm also a big Steelers fan. So.
We'd have to. Oh, well, okay, then. We'd have to go to the shampoo aisle on that one.
Oh, you mean Clay uses shampoo?
He's got a sponsorship just like Palomalu does. Let's not forget that Palomalu has like some hair insurance too.
Like they both plus.
Do. Yeah, and one
Palomalu's
has like
hair is nice and full. Like he's got a nice mane where like
yeah, because that's his makeup.
But Matthews just has this greasy ass like
it's
you know
fine.
It's not full. It doesn't do anything. It just lays there.
Do you honestly? Okay, do you think that he would not get made fun of if he started volumizing his hair? Does he need to get a perm to get your acceptance? All
right. Point taken.
He should braid it though, just once. Let's be honest, like a French braid or something.
You know what? You know he really wants to do pigtails.